The Don and Mike Show.
Here's a guy that has wanted to meet Buzz Burbank for years and years and years.
Hi, Fez.
Hi, guys.
It's a pleasure to meet you. He is right behind you, Fez.
Hi, Buzz Burbank. How are you?
Nice to meet you. How are you?
A little stalker, you?
Stalker?
You should see the flowers down in the RonandFez.com office. Filled with roses from Buzz Burbank. And you know what? Those roses have thorns. I got a little prick. Or at least I'm hoping to.
The Don and Mike Show.
From the heart of my bottom bowl, listening to this frequency wherever you are.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, a lot has happened since we last spoke to you. Mike and I are currently being driven around the CBS lot by, or CBS Sony lot by Annette. We are in the back of a golf cart.
Yes, Annette is with the King of Queens. She's been very nice to show us around, and now we are being whisked via golf cart to the soundstage where they actually film the show, and where we are apparently going to be shown what our incredible, dynamic, non-speaking parts are tonight.
Now, Mike, I know that you and I have felt like schlups and schmucks and peons before, but never before as today as we walk around this television set carrying our luggage with us.
We were told, apparently Charlie was told by Leah Remedy to go right from the airport to the set. And as predicted, we were kind of really unexpected at this point. I think they might have been expecting us a little bit later.
They don't tape for another 6, 7, maybe 8 hours. Hello, folks. Welcome to Hollywood. There were some pedestrians that were apparently looking for a little bit of a tour there.
I'll tell you, nobody communicates with the people like you do. With the little people. The non-show people, of course.
And
that's a nice car.
Yeah, God. Donnie and Marie coming up to the
left. Hey, we know Donnie Osmond. Hey, is Donnie on the lot today? What time do they shoot,
Annette? They shoot, I think, 2 shows a day in the afternoon.
Wow.
Have you ever seen their show? No, I'm talking to Mike.
Oh, I have not seen their show. No, I haven't had the
absolutely
pleasure.
Absolutely awful.
Well, we'd lie if we saw Donnie and we'd tell him we were really good.
Yeah, we'd say it was great.
Now, Donnie is, you think he'd remember when we put him in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and,
how could you forget that? I'm Donnie Osmond.
Don't you wish you were me.
All right, now, you know, we are actually going at quite a nice rate of speed here.
It's very, very exciting. I tell you right now, we're very, very psyched.
We've arrived.
I think we've arrived at the sound stage, so we're getting out of the golf cart now. Charlie is going to, are you going to come right over the top, Charlie, and show your athletic prowess?
And once again, this is where I must admit that we just feel like schmuck and schmuck.
Yeah, well, we are schmuck and schmuck, and I think it's a role that we wear nicely. Annette, fantastic driving.
Thank you, Annette. Thank you very
absolutely
much.
Absolutely incredible.
No problem. People are usually scared to drive with
you. You do a great job, really. I mean, I didn't feel off balance once, except for my natural vertigo.
Here is the big sign that says King of Queens.
It's very exciting as we make our way onto the soundstage.
Closed set. And here we go. Mike, are you ready now? We walk through this door.
Bleachers.
I don't like that. That means lots of others.
We are now. Right. Hey, it's Spence.
All right, very cool.
Now, hey, it's Spence, the guy that we talked to on the phone.
No, he's running away. He's trying to avoid us.
Don't run away from us. Hello.
You want us to do the tuna fish bit?
Hey, Grease Man. do a lawman bit for us.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. You're welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hi, we're doing fine. Are we here too early?
No, you've actually come at a perfect time. A 5-minute break when everyone's having espresso and pizza.
Now, are we going to be, Pat, are we going to be behind in a group of like 5,000, or are we going to get any extra viewings when we're doing our little shtick? Do you know anything about it? You don't know anything about it, do you?
I believe that basket's probably for us, honey.
Yeah.
I see a big fruit basket, what with gifts and stuff.
That's very exciting.
Like, that's going for the gaffers. We always get the gaffers a big basket of stuff. Cause they
really?
Yeah.
Not for the disc jockeys that are coming to visit?
I'm sorry, no. Our director has an open contempt for radio.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Is that the guy that said he was Jose Jimenez the other day?
Well, radio killed his parents, so there's going to be a lot of resentment. I would just try to avoid eye contact.
All right, well, Pat, we're going to find out where we're going to be hidden on this show, so we'll see you in a moment.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
All right.
It's Patty plays Spence on King of Queens. Very funny guy.
No, we like him.
He's great on that show.
He's good. Now, we're actually backstage of the TV show now.
Annette is actually... Is that for us, sir?
I'm afraid so, yes.
Oh, it is. Well, that's wonderful. Just put it in the cart.
Is that... That really can't be for us. I mean, it's full of, like... Is it really? Mike, it's full of toys.
Hey, this guy's on the show. This is so cool. How
There's
you doing?
Another guy on the show. Hi. Hi, guys.
We're Don and Mike. We're the disc jockeys.
From where?
We're from what? Nobody's told you we're coming?
Jeez.
Has anyone told you we're coming?
Told me you were coming.
Nobody told them we were coming.
Well,
all right. That's all right.
That's the guy who's Kevin's friend on the show, the guy from New York.
He's great. He's very
guy,
funny.
Did you ever see the episode where his wife was banging some other guy?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They had to tell him about it.
The one where... You know, this is now we're moseying on to the set.
We're very much backstage.
We're going back to a dressing room here right now.
I don't know where we're going now.
Oh, look at this.
There she is.
This is so exciting.
There
she is. Look at this in the star dressing room of Miss Leah.
Shocker,
Remini.
She's moving a cigarette.
Hello, how are you? Good
that
to see you.
That is a shock.
Hi, welcome. Hi.
Okay. So this is your kingdom, huh?
This is my kingdom.
So this is like your worst nightmare, right? That you're here at work and we're actually here?
No, I don't care.
And look how retarded we look. We have all of our bags and stuff.
I know.
Show her the stain.
I don't believe
this. Is this your friend?
No, who is this?
Friend, yes.
Who is this? Hi, what's your name?
Melissa Samuels.
Hi, Melissa.
Melissa, this is Don. I'm Mike. How are you?
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you friends with Leah?
Well, I'm just guesting on the show as her friend this week.
She got you a role on the show also.
Did I get you the role? She does everything for everybody here.
No, but tell the truth. She got the job because she's a funny lady.
I bet you have actual speaking lines, don't you?
A couple.
And this is from a man who said, I don't care what we do.
I am kidding you.
I'll tell you right now, we're just going to be extras, you see, but we're expecting that once that's done, we are immediately going to be put in a feature film. That's what we haven't told Leah that, but that's kind of what we're counting on. What do you think our chances are?
Real good.
Excellent.
She is a liar.
Bonus. Who's the guy that plays hey, you're that guy, the friend of Kevin's?
Larry Romano.
Larry what?
Romano.
Larry Romano, of course. Yeah. Larry Romano. We saw him coming in, and we said, hi, you're the guy that does the thing on the show. He said, hey, yo, thanks a lot.
He said, you're the disc jockey.
And that was it? Yeah. Do you know when you guys...
He didn't know we were coming.
Did you...
You've told no one we're coming. Isn't that the truth?
The truth is we don't really talk to Larry that much.
Okay.
He's not in the know.
Now, is this your dressing room, Leah?
This is my dressing room. This is formerly Kevin James's dressing room.
Oh, really? Can we look around
Please,
for a second?
Please, go ahead. No.
All right, let me see. Nice to meet you,
Charlie, we're
going to
take a tour of the dressing room.
Let me see what Leah's got doing in her dressing room here.
Ooh, look at those pants.
It's a skirt. That is one of Leah's skirts, and
it smells lovely.
I tell you, it smells like her.
Put this in my bag, please.
Oh, a King of Queens coffee mug.
Okay, don't tell her that I... Hi.
Tell me what?
Nothing.
Now look at all the pictures.
Take the mug?
Yeah.
She gave me permission. Rob, will you put that in my bag, please?
Look at all the pictures that Leah has up on the wall
Those
here.
Those look like high-powered executives.
She has a picture of Donny Osmond.
He's a close personal friend of ours, you know, Donny Osmond.
Okay. And then she has a picture of... It looks like... You got a picture of one of your ads?
Yeah, my sister sent me that. That's in Target.
Oh, in Target.
You were in Target? Do you like Target?
I'm a big fan of Target.
Let me ask you.
Did you hear that?
Hold on.
Did you hear that? I know what the answer is going to be, but go ahead and ask because you're going to be embarrassed, but go ahead and ask.
Which do you like better? Walmart or Target?
Target.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Right, I have told you all along. It's the greatest store in the world.
Better selection.
Okay, Target is a little more white trash.
Yeah.
Oh, and no, Walmart is more white trash. We've argued this for years.
Actually, Target is a little bit more expensive, I think.
Probably a little more expensive. I think it keeps out the riffraff.
Yeah, when you
Mike
know,
and I are together on that. Oh, he's a big fan.
Your eight balls here.
He
oh, sorry.
He was nervous when he talked to these guys yesterday. He's such a big fan.
Oh, man, all your guys.
Pat Oswald, my friend.
I remember the time when you were playing old novelty songs and saying it was like Madonna and stuff like that. Remember you'd play like Thank God I'm a Country Boy and go, that's Madonna. And then people would call in going, could you play Snoopy versus the Red Baron? And then you got angry that you don't get it. You don't get what I'm doing. It was so hilarious.
Well, aren't you nice?
Is this your
floor
director that needs Leah?
All right, okay, they need to rehearse.
Michael, she's their boss.
All right, hold on. That was a picture
right,
of Leah. We're going
to
watch Leah rehearse just, now.
I think, have we had a chance to paint the picture that we are behind the scenes at the King of Queens soundstage where they're going to, I guess they're doing rehearsals right now.
And now Leah has told us to come along. She's given us the follow me sign.
Very exciting.
So we're actually walking behind her on the set of the TV show.
We're following.
Where we're going to watch her rehearse.
Trying to be very, okay, very well behaved. Now we're out on the soundstage. Okay. This is where the studio audience comes in later on this
now
evening.
Now let's see, Mike, you and I should have one of those chairs with our names on them.
We're looking for our chair right now. We don't seem to see it. Don Geronimo, Michael. Hi, how are you? I'm Mike. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, I'm Don.
This is Don.
Hi.
It's also nice to meet you.
And I would just like to say...
Sorry to throw the microphone in your face, but we are doing a show.
I don't want to interrupt, but Mike, I need you to come here for a minute and walk here on the set of King of Queens.
Very exciting.
Where if
it is.
If you get right over here by the piano...
There is our picture.
You will see that our publicity picture
Look
is indeed
that.
Up on top of the piano.
Now, I must tell you, they do quick walks through here, so it might not get as much camera... Huh?
Our show this week takes place a lot here.
Oh, right here on this table?
So that's beautiful. In a prime location?
Right.
I'm so excited.
To the director, Ron Schiller, find out where you guys will be.
All right, we're going to... Leah, when is our scene?
That's later.
Okay,
later,
good.
Much
very
later.
Good. All right, okay.
We're just going to watch...
Scenes right now.
Excellent.
Hey, we're just going to watch Leah now.
Okay, go talk to Rob.
We're going to meet the director.
That means she wants us just to leave her alone.
I understand that. Where is the director who we're meeting?
Oh. This is Rob Schiller.
I thought this guy. Well, this guy's sitting in Rob Schiller's chair.
He's the executive producer.
He's
says he's the man with the money.
I'm Don, how are you?
Welcome. How was your trip out here?
It was wonderful. I'm Mike. Nice to meet you.
Good, good, good. Did you get your makeup yet? You ready? Almost ready to go?
No, this is my normal beautiful color.
Oh. No, we were just told that we just come to see you and pick up our scripts.
Leah will show you the way.
All right, well, you know what we will do, I guess, is we will, I guess, just sit around and watch you guys practice, if you don't mind. Could you tell us, where do you envision Mike and myself?
There's a pregnant pause. I will tell you that the microphone is at his face right now, and there is total
you guys
silence.
Have foosball?
I know that there's going to be
foosball.
A
bar. I was actually
in the bar, I was drinking and playing foosball.
Playing foosball.
Okay. Now,
I was a foosball champion. That's a lie, but you always do that when a director asks
you. Will the foosball table be in the front of the room? Will it be in the back of the room?
The very back. Very back.
Will this be the kind of table that will actually be seen on camera, though?
Yes. You did list the special skills.
Yes,
foosball.
Very good. Foosball.
All right, well, then we know. Okay, Mike, that's our motivation.
We'll be playing foosball. Very good for our audience.
We will spend the rest of our day honing and refining our foosball.
I think there's some chairs for us over here, I believe.
And you know what I think? I think that this is the bedroom where Leah and Kevin film their bedroom scenes.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. Now, it looks to me like... That's exactly what it is. They
yes,
just move on over here, and they do that.
And, you know, not that I have always wanted to do this or anything, but I think I'm just going to get in Leah's spot in the bed.
Very good. How does it feel? How does it feel?
And it feels great, Mike. And if you get in, you could pretend you're Kevin.
This is very, very cool. You know, unlike the director's chairs, I think this is a very good place to actually hang out.
I think so, too.
I think this is very nice. We're kind of out of the way over here, and we're really not offending anyone. And you know what? They're amused at our behavior right now.
I think.
They're pointing and laughing. But I can tell you right now, the director hates us.
He hates us.
It's
all right, so we're playing foosball, okay?
Well, that's cool. At least it's action. It's better than just sitting
and another thing. And we're about to do a rehearsal. Someone said, shh.
What's that?
Oh, no. This is Leah trying to get rid of us. Just asked us if we knew where the food was.
She's trying.
Okay. You know what? We'll just turn the microphones off.
Oh, the food. Do you want us to turn the microphones off?
No, no, no. But food is over there. I want to just...
Food. Okay, that's... Okay.
You guys can go wherever you want.
We understand.
Thank you, Leah. Okay, you're being Charlie, very nice and very sweet, as usual.
Shut up.
We have to break?
Yeah, let's break.
All right, let's break. But you know what? I want to stay here and watch them do their practice one time. Okay. Practice. But we'll be very, very quiet, though.
Practice like hockey practice.
Okay, back with more. We're on the set of King of Queens. This is it. This is the big time, Mike.
And we're going to be playing foosball.
Foosball.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's a question. Do you think they'll really have a ball, or you and I just twirl around the little men?
I think they won't have a ball because they're going to want to keep it quiet. And, you know, that's why we'll have to do a...
Oh! Okay, we're here on the set of King of Queens, and we will be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you're stop moralizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
And Mike Show.
Okay, everybody, we're back on the set of King of Queens.
This is rehearsal time as they're getting ready to film the episode tonight, and they're doing a scene with Kevin James and Spence and Leah Remini
and The Fist
and Jerry Stiller. And this is a scene now where it looks to be the director is going over some things with them. I don't know if we can hear that.
No, they're not doing a lot of talking on mic right now. I'll tell you what happened during our commercial set there. What happened was Leah Remini took our latest picture, the one of you and I and her on the couch at her house,
and put it on the upper left-hand corner of the refrigerator in their kitchen. So now, if you're counting, we have two photographs. But I'll tell you something. This is the first time we've had a chance to see the picture on the piano, and that picture is really highlighted. I think it might even be easier to spot than the one on the refrigerator.
However, I can't imagine too many scenes when they actually walk through that door and go, and I've never even seen a piano on this show.
Leah said to me that they're actually going to have a scene at that dinner table. So when they're sitting at the dining room table, the formal dining room, which they rarely sit at, that's when you get a real bird's eye view of us. But you know what? If they shoot a scene in there, we'll be able to tell you whether it's easy. Right now, we're up in the upper left-hand corner, but it's a harder picture to see.
Have you noticed how unapproachable Kevin has been today?
Well, Kevin seems to be working very hard right now, and he was sitting actually on the set the whole time we came out here. Now, it looks like they've broken.
What, are they not going to do the scene now?
I'm not sure what they're doing.
Wait, they're all walking around.
They're all
now.
Walking away.
Hold on, there's the fist.
There's Joe. And I think we have to keep that down to a low roar, too, because that's, remember, our super secret.
All right. Oh, no, here's Kevin walking in the kitchen.
Now, are they getting ready to block another scene? I'm not sure.
Now, do we have audio on this? Can we hear this?
Yeah, the microphones are coming through this monitor that we see backstage. Kevin's walking around on the set.
He's walking around. And there's, yeah, you know,
hey,
what
there's our foosball table.
Oh, there's the foosball table that we'll
wait,
be
we
using.
Wait, we gotta find that. Where is that?
That's on camera X, Mike. Camera X.
Very cool.
So, yeah, we must be in the garage scene.
It might be the garage scene, yeah, or they could have another foosball table. They keep saying it's at Cooper's.
Is
maybe
there a chance
the
that they're getting ready to block our scene right now because we're here? Is there a chance?
Scene? I really don't think so. Since when we were just hanging around watching them do their last bit of rehearsal, about 20 people pointed towards the food table as if to say, okay,
go
guys,
over and eat, boys.
Get out of here now. Leave us
right
alone.
Now. So right now, nothing much happening. They're just walking around, and they're filtering around with all their different stuff, and they're moving sets. And I see Spence standing in front of the foosball table, which now I have my eyes on because we're very excited about that. Yes, sir.
This man, Chris Kiley. I'm the second AD.
Hi,
this is Chris Kiley. He's the second
AD.
Don.
Don, nice
hi.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mike,
you find your dressing rooms upstairs, I hope.
We haven't been up there yet. Are they...
Charlie? Charlie knows where they are.
Okay,
we have a dressing room, Charlie.
Yes, you do.
Really?
But my next question is, I understand that you guys are going to be on camera with us. In Cooper's, our bar.
We'll be playing foosball.
Is that what they told you? That's
yes.
Fine. That's
okay.
Good. Now, there's two scenes on two separate days in Cooper's. We'll probably put you in the first one, scene B, which we'll be rehearsing with you guys in about half an hour. Is that going to work for you guys?
Sure.
Absolutely. We'd love to, you know, experience it and see what, we'll do whatever you need us to do. We are very excited to be here.
It's a non-dress rehearsal. You can just wear your street clothes, what you got on.
Okay.
And as far as, as far as wardrobe is concerned, you guys could, it's supposed to be autumn in New York.
I brought a Jets jersey, okay?
Yeah, that'll go over big.
Yeah, right, yeah. See?
Hey, smart
use the noodle,
move.
Mike. Use
smart,
the noodle.
Smart move. And I think I'll just lose the fancy golf jacket and just wear this this top. Is that cool?
Yeah, I think that'd be fine. We'll walk you by wardrobe maybe right before we send you out there.
Okay.
And we don't actually photograph it until tonight at like 6:30 when the show starts. You guys.
So there will be two foosball scenes, but we will only be featured in one foosball scene?
Correct. And I'm not sure if it's going to
be... I know what you're thinking.
Heartbroken.
This is the time to ask. You always ask for more. So no, not even an outside chance we could be in
nothing,
two foosball scenes, huh?
Nothing is that in concrete, so...
I like this man.
Okay.
I like him.
I
this is our friend.
You're in two, you're in two, you know what I mean?
All right, what is your first name again?
Chris.
All right,
this is Chris, the AD, Mike.
I believe we must fuse to Chris. We must attach ourselves to Chris. We must be nice to Chris. Chris, is there any... You got a particular brand of beer that you like, you know? We'll send a case to your house.
That's wonderful.
Very good.
I appreciate it.
Excellent.
All right, guys. I'll catch up with you in a little bit.
Thanks, Chris.
Right. I guess we'll be up in our dressing room.
Okay. Or Prue, and I'll find you. I'll catch up with you.
Way to
thank
go.
You.
That's Chris. He's the second AD.
So we have dressing rooms. Charlie, how could you not tell us we have dressing rooms?
You've been in the middle of doing the show.
What, can we go up and see our dressing room?
Hold on. I want to see Kevin rehearse this scene where Kevin is lying on the floor.
Did you hear what he said, Don?
Chris,
the second AD said, nothing is etched in concrete. I say the one thing we have to do is go for the two scenes.
Get in two scenes tonight.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, it looks like they're getting ready to rehearse.
And there's Kevin laying on the couch.
Laying on the couch right now, reading a magazine.
Reading a magazine. Yeah, he's in his garage, right, Robbie?
Yeah, he's watching his big screen in the garage.
Okay. Well, he's holding up a picture of a naked girl right now.
Fight game. That's the magazine he's reading.
Well, we have dressing rooms.
I want to see our dressing rooms.
You want to see your dressing room before you watch Kevin rehearse a scene?
I don't think they're going to do that for a little while. Oh, wait. No,
quiet,
quiet, please.
Here you go. Here's let's just hear what a real rehearsal sounds like on King of Queens. Okay? And
waiting.
Hold on. They're getting the camera set. That is not the most flattering shot of Kevin.
I disagree.
Quiet on the set. What?
Oh, they're yelling at us quiet on the set.
Hey, Doug, I'm home.
Hey, buddy, how you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic. All day at work, I just had this energy, mojo. A pretty girl, as I sold her a token, smiled at me. She knew.
No question about it, you are radiant.
All right, well, look. I got the Post, I got the Times, I got the Penny Savers. I even circled a couple of possibilities during lunch.
Wow, you are a madman.
Man, I am fearless. I'm psyched!
Yeah. All right, well, let's get you a place real quick here and come to your senses and realize how scared you should be.
Huh? What do you mean?
Hmm? Well, nothing. All right, look at you. Circle this one right here. Corona Heights, huh? Two bedroom, one bath. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, it says immediate occupancy. Should we go check it out?
Sure.
This is not the funniest scene I've ever seen.
I think this whole episode is about Spence moving out on his own.
Why not?
Why not?
Hey, open window. Slow fat kid. Okay, well, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this one?
You know what I hope we hear? I hope we hear Kevin or Spence screw up their lines at this point.
Yeah,
this
I hope
would
so
be
too.
Interesting to hear,
they
right?
They seem to have this one down.
Yeah, that is perfect. And when exactly did you win the lottery? Because I don't remember hearing about it.
Oh, man. Well, come on. This is ridiculous. I mean, one of these places has to be okay.
I'm fine. You know what? If you know it all, then why don't you go look for yourself, you know? Find the first... Take the first place you see.
But wait, don't leave. Please. I want your help. Okay, well, then listen to me, okay?
I really have to fart.
We'll go ahead. Let's get it on tape.
Can I finish my thought, please?
That's a special moment. Don farts, and then Kevin says, can I finish my thought, please?
Help you. Okay, well, what's the first step?
The scene is flawless.
You gotta get a binder.
Hey, you know, these guys have not blown one line yet.
Nope, they've... Excuse me. They were having trouble in the kitchen. I choked on some pastrami.
What is this? First, you gotta relax. Step back. Clear your head first. How do I do that?
There's the screw up. He screwed up.
I will show you.
See, they messed it up.
Yeah, let's see what they say.
I know.
This is a very long scene for a sitcom.
Nothing. Kevin is just tying his shoe. And now some girl is coming over showing Spence the script, showing him what line he screwed up.
Did you kick me for a reason, Charlie? Sometimes you're trying to signal me.
No, it was an accident.
Was I breathing heavily?
No.
Chewing?
No.
Okay. All right, now there, I guess it was Spence that blew the line?
I guess so. And now look at this. Look at this conference. You got like 50 people coming out on the set talking to them now.
They take it very seriously. Want to get it just right.
See, now we can't hear what... Kevin's yelling at somebody, but we can't hear what he's saying because they don't have the microphones turned on.
He's saying... I think I can read his lips. He's saying, get those disc jockeys the F out of here.
You know, of everybody on this show, Kevin does seem the guy who seems to be the guy who's the most under pressure today,
he's
doesn't he?
He's the main man. He is the main man. This is his day. It's his show.
Well, let's go look at our dressing room, sir. We've heard them rehearse.
All right, Charlie's...
Let's go upstairs and... Charlie, see what our accommodations are like.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
That was a good turn that you just made, Charlie.
All right, so we're walking down the hall now past Leah Remini's dressing room.
I thought they were upstairs, Charlie.
They are. I don't know if they're...
Well, we've passed about two stairwells.
Okay, steps over here.
Hey, didn't we pass two stairwells already, Mike? Oh, there's Leah again.
No, we're
trying to find our room.
Right there, thank you.
Trying to find our room.
So you had it right. So, Leah, are you going to show us our dressing room?
Yeah. Did you eat? Did you get
Yes,
meal?
Yes, we ate. Yeah. We ate a lot of
yes,
food.
Yes, we ate. We saw. Thank you. Well, you,
Charlie, you
thank
did,
you for
did.
Putting our picture up on the refrigerator.
You're welcome. My pleasure, sweetheart.
Is Kevin always this uptight on game day?
You know, Kevin has a lot of pressure. Wait, you want to see your beautiful room?
Oh,
let's see our beautiful room. Look, we got a basket.
Oh, now, Mike, look at we do have a basket with toys.
We got a fruit basket.
No, it's not just a fruit basket, Mike.
We got
toys.
No balls.
Magic 8 balls. Okay. Open it up. Well, read the card first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just dove right in.
You're supposed to do that when the person's not in the room.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Did you give this to us? Oh, she's getting madder at me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Read the card first.
All right.
Don, Mike, and Charlie, thank you so much for being part of our show. Love, Leah and Kevin.
You are so
well,
sweet.
Well, thank you.
That is...
Isn't she sweet?
That is so...
And you know what?
Man.
I'm sure sorry, that came from you and not from Kevin. So we thank you for that, Leah.
That's true. I got to tell him that I got it.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, got to tell him that you got it.
So here we are just chilling out in our Hollywood-style dressing room. I think we need to get some pictures.
What?
Something. Go into Larry's room when you guys like have a minute. Go, hey, we just wanted to come and see your room.
Larry is the yo-yo guy.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a bathroom. So they gave you guys like the...
We have a bathroom?
But look at this room. It's so crappy.
It's crappy, but look at that. We do have our own bathroom.
Hey, for us, though, with some of the places that we do shows at and stuff...
You should see our office.
This is a good room.
Yeah,
we're very happy with this room.
All right.
We're very happy. You know what I've noticed?
I want to ask you a question about the procedure, about the process of doing a sitcom. Is this stress time? It seems that you're getting the last things right. You're trying to get the rhythm right and everything before the people come in later on this evening. Is this the toughest day of the week for you guys as far as the actual process of doing the work?
Yeah, because what we do is I have to get ready all the time. So all this time that I'm supposedly having breaks, I'm getting into my makeup because... You can see I have no eyebrows, nothing right now.
Yeah, you're so ugly.
It's pretty brutal. So now I'm going to have to get ready, then Kevin has to get ready, then we have to do pre-shoots, because we shoot some scenes before tonight, so we just have it. So we have to do that, and then we have to go to dinner. We eat dinner for a half hour, then we come back, get touch-ups again, get back into hair, and then we have to do the show tonight. So yeah, it is a lot.
Does anybody really eat before you're going to actually do the show?
I eat all the time.
Do you really?
A lot of people like Kevin, he doesn't eat dinner because he gets like crazy before the show, but I eat chow down.
Well, really? That's good.
And then you're going to meet my mom too. This will be fun.
Oh, good. We're looking for now. Yeah, we're invited to
this
dinner.
That's a whole segment there.
Here's what we wanted to make sure we didn't do today.
Yeah.
What we don't want to do is like get in the way. We got the feeling
you guys are not in the way.
When we were watching you rehearse, we got the feeling that like everybody was giving us the evil eye, which is why we left and just
seriously?
Watched you guys rehearse on the
seriously?
Monitor.
Were
yeah,
evil
yeah.
Eye? No.
Yeah, no, they did. But it's okay.
Point them out to me.
What's going
to
be great? What's going to be great about this?
Were you or are you not giving Don and Mike my friends dirty looks?
Let me say something.
I know they were.
I want to say
it. Admit it in front of these people. That's what I want to know.
They would. Will we admit it? Yeah, we'll point them out.
I'm trying to talk. This is very hard. I was going to say this is going to be a very good spot to come up to where when we have problems with people, we can come shut the door and we can talk about everybody in our private dressing room. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. Now she's not talking. Thank you. You're being very, very... Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, thank you.
Well, listen, you're the greatest for getting us here and getting us on this show and getting us our dressing room and getting
so
our
cool.
getting our big candy basket and everything.
But there's fun stuff in there.
So I know lots of toys.
Good.
I just want you to know we are aware of what schlumps we are when we come bounding into a place. We are incapable of making the small entrance. We know that we come in, we're loud.
Oh, I love it. It's great. You guys are great. I have to go to makeup.
All right.
Come.
Can we come watch you make up?
Yeah.
Sure, let's go. All right, let's go watch Leo get made up.
And thank you for the basket of toys.
I said you need to take a break.
Yes, but you know what we can do since we're taping this? We'll break, and then we'll do it right in real time. So go ahead, take a break. Great, Charlie.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. 11:40,
AHTK. Boy, do I dig this way out music. Let's see, I'll try number 14 this time.
They both prefer masturbating in the morning. Don and Mike.
Now, we are on our way to watch Leah get made up, but I just wanted to point out something Leah just showed us. This guy, Patton, who's the guy on the show who's like, yo, he's Kevin's friend.
No, that's
who's
not.
This? Oh, Spence. Pat.
Okay, Patton Oswalt.
Oh, I get it. Oh, you know what? Oh, Pat. See, I didn't know it was Patton.
It's very sparse. You're right. It's absolutely very stark.
Look how crappy his dressing room is.
Look, his is a third of the size.
And you know what? He doesn't have his own bathroom.
We are very excited. And look at ours.
People steal things on the show, so you got to close.
Okay, you have to close the show. You mean you've got kleptomaniacs on?
Yeah.
He doesn't have his own bathroom, but we do have ours.
That is so cool. Thank you for you pulled that for us, didn't you, Lee?
I did.
The greatest.
Yeah.
All right, now we're making our way back downstairs.
How many complaints have you guys got about God, I'm so sick of Leah Remini. Be honest, how many calls?
Besides my wife,
yeah.
Absolutely none.
Don't lie.
People are digging it.
Ready?
Okay. Right. Hold on. Oh, so we.
Christine Spooner is a big fan of yours. She's Michael Weinhorn's assistant, and she's so.
I used
loves
to listen
you guys.
To you guys all the time in high school.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
This is Don. I'm Mike, and you have exquisite taste.
I like to think so.
She's the one who said, "Is that Don and Mike?" when we had the initial picture on the fridge. She said, "That's Don and Mike."
I actually went back from my high school reunion last
All right, come
2 weeks
set,
ago.
You guys are ready.
And everyone was talking about how much you guys love the show. And how
oh, we do.
Yeah.
Well, we love the show.
You know, Leah has been so nice to us, and we're really excited about our little extra role today where we're going to be playing foosball.
Ooh.
Yeah,
have
exciting.
To sing and rehearsing?
No, we haven't.
I'll tell you something, that our dressing room has a bathroom, yet Pat's dressing room does not have a bathroom.
I'm pretty psyched about that. I think they're saying quiet on the set.
Well, what was that?
Whose dressing room?
This is Larry.
No.
Not yours. The guy who plays Spence.
He's got a bedroom?
He does not have a bathroom in his dressing room.
Now, do you talk like this all the time? Like, when you get done doing the show, do you actually walk out and do you really say bathroom? Do you really?
Bathroom.
There you go. I just wanted him to prove that.
It depends on what speed I say it at. You know, you say bathroom or I got to go to bathroom. Like, if you're in a hurry and you really got to go, I got to go to bathroom. Like,
do you have a bathroom in your dressing room?
I got a cat room.
You do?
Yeah, you want to see it?
Yeah, can we see your dressing room?
I got my dressing room.
Yeah.
All right, can we see? Because, you know, we'd like to compare.
Dressing rooms?
Yeah, because we have a nice one upstairs that has
you guys
a,
do?
Yes, it has a big bathroom.
Who's your agent?
Leah Remini is our agent.
So you got a good agent. That's important.
She's a very good agent.
But look, he has a lock on his door.
I took it off. I don't want people to know I'm here.
And you like to be kind of reclusive?
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right, let's check out Larry's room.
All right, Larry.
Well, now, Larry, I will say that this is very reminiscent of something I would have seen on the TV show Cops. When they go inside like a maximum security prison.
That's what I mean.
This does have a prison feel to it, Larry.
Yeah,
it really
like
does.
Jail, man.
What is the flag up here, Larry?
Well,
it's
a little bright with the lights, you know, so it's something that I bought when I was in Australia a few years ago.
So you like to keep it kind of dark in here. Do you come in here and shut the light off and just...
Come in and shut the light, spend some time by myself. It's been like that this year, you know, but...
I'll say like that.
You know, it's hard.
I think we're identifying some trouble behind behind the scenes of the King of Queens. You say it's been tough, Larry. Do the stars, Kevin and Leah, do they shut you out? Do they keep you out of the loop?
No, I mean, tough from a personal point of view, you know, being in his room in the dark by myself, you know, it's kind of like, after a while, it's just where I have to be, you know. It's for my own sanity and the safety of society for me to be here for, like, long periods of time by myself.
When you're on the set, when you're not on the set, when you're at home, do you also spend a lot of time in dark rooms?
It depends, you know. It depends on if, you know, what the weather's like. I like cloudy days, though. I'm very big on cloudy days, you know. Especially being here in California because it's sunny all the time. So when you got a cloudy day, you got to take advantage of it and stay inside.
I'm very surprised to note that someone who's actually on a TV show has that crappy magazine, Entertainment Tonight, actually sitting on the ground in their dressing room.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not much to read around here. There's some interesting articles, though, here. I don't know where they are, but...
Do you ever bang any of these Hollywood celebrities that we would have heard of?
In this book?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Book.
Yeah, it is novel here. EW this week.
So, yeah, it's a cloudy day today, Larry. You must be kind of psyched because it's pretty cloudy out.
I was doing good, man. Today I'm really pumped, you know. I want to play a song for you. I got a song for the King of Queens. You want to hear it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Now, is this on your boombox over here?
Yeah, we might have to shut the door.
All right, let's shut the door.
All right, shut the door. We're in Larry's dressing room. And those of you who don't remember, I think Larry's best episode on King of Queens was where he didn't know that his wife was banging some other guy. Yeah, and Kevin and these other guys had to call him over and tell him about it.
Yeah, actually, Carrie knew, and then she told Kev, and then, you know, Kev had to tell me.
And flying in on...
Oh, she didn't tell Kev.
Right, yeah.
And flying in on the plane, of course, they were running King of Queens on the plane coming in, and it was when you were banging the teacher, which was a nice episode, too.
Yeah, that was fun. She was nice, that teacher. She taught me a lot. She taught me love and passion, and, I can't... What rating you got? PG over here?
No, we
have
X.
Whatever you want.
Say X.
Okay, well, I'll tell you later.
All right, well, now, what are you going to play for us?
A song called that I wrote for the King of Queens. I write music, and this is a song that I was inspired to write, you know, and I'm just going to...
Okay.
All right, he's going over to his...
Actually going to hear Larry's music now.
Is it ready to go, Larry?
I think it is.
From King of Queens, here we go. This would be a song inspired...
He's the King of Queens. And I like the Queens guys who dress like chicks, Queens, but like a Queens, New York City. His wife, Carrie, she's the Queen of Queens. City girl, smart and pretty. What the man does, heffernan. He's the top cat on the scene. Spanish quality down top. Boys, he can spend him.
I'm sure you don't want to hear
it. You went into, I mean, that's well recorded. You put a little thought into that. That's
now, what is that, like your theme song for the show?
I wrote it. I was, you know, it was me and this kid that write music together back in the Bronx. We were just hanging out, and we just said, you know what, let's write a song for the King of Queens.
Now, have you played this for Kevin or for Leah?
Kevin really loves the song a lot. He likes it a lot, yeah.
What about?
The producers like it, too.
Is there a chance they could make that into the new theme of the show?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, but they'll use it maybe on the show? Did they tell you that?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
So they're just giving you a little lip service.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's great.
I like it.
Yeah.
What did Jerry Stiller think of it?
Jerry didn't hear it. I got to get it to Jerry. Maybe.
You know, I kind of think you play it for Jerry and he likes it. It's gonna go.
I got a chance, right?
Well, Larry, I've noticed that you've taken your shirt off and.
Five guys in a jail cell.
Beware.
And unless you're trying to tell us something, I think we will get out of your way now, sir.
No, that's cool. You guys can hang, but, you know.
Larry.
I had to take off my shirt. This is me and Madonna back in the day.
Really?
Now, what, were you in a Madonna video or something?
Yeah, I played a boyfriend in a video called Old Father. And
that was a famous video, too, right?
Did you bang Madonna?
No, I didn't. I smacked her around a little bit.
Wasn't that the real controversial video, right?
No, that's not the one where she did herself with the crucifix.
It isn't?
No. She was singing in bed one morning. I woke up. I had a hangover. I smacked it, and she got mad, and that's her kissing me goodbye. She says, I had enough of this.
Cool. What did Madonna smell like in bed? I mean, did she smell good?
You know, that's an interesting question because, of course she smelled good, man. She got the most expensive perfume in the world. It was nice, man.
Nice?
You gotta really smell her in the morning, though, after 8 hours of sleep. That's when you can really tell.
And did you smell her in the morning after 8 hours of sleep?
Chance.
You didn't have any sexual relations with Madonna?
No, I was by myself. I had a few. That's what everybody has, right? In the listening audience, how many people have pleasured themselves?
And Larry, I see you got...
Posted.
You got your day planner here. I see you got your day planner here. If you don't mind, I'm gonna go through and see. Let me see.
Okay. Anything interesting?
Oh, now you need Yankee players' names.
Right.
Why do you need New York Yankee players' names?
I wrote a song for the New York Yankees. It's a fight song.
Is that a rap song, too?
It's a heavy metal rock tune. It's called...
It's not like that. Go, New York! Go, New York! Go, New York!
I got the Tao Pao horns playing. I got really serious guitars. I got a lot of action.
You a big Yankee fan, Larry?
I used to really be a big Yankee fan, and now I'm more of a fan of baseball, as opposed to just seeing the Yankees beat up everybody every year. It's getting a little boring.
I'm a Red Sox fan. I can relate to what's going on.
Like, Nomar Garcia-Perez is a great player, and... It's kind of sad to see what's happening to them guys.
Well, you know, when this is broadcast, who knows? Maybe they will have come back, and this is going to broadcast on Monday. Maybe they will have come back and tied the series.
Maybe. You never know.
Did you hear about Yaz?
What?
Yaz is a fag.
Stop it. That's not true.
Yeah, Yaz is a fag.
Stop it.
You didn't know that? Yaz is a big fag.
You know, stop it, please.
Yeah, Yaz is a total fag.
I mean, well, this is fun. This is cool.
On Yankee Stadium?
No, I started that rumor, actually.
He wrote it on a picture I had one time. Larry Romano, thank you very much for being on the show.
Now, Larry, hold on. What do you want, creatine or something?
I got some Betagen here, some really good stuff.
This is the stuff that Mark McGuire says kids should not use.
Well, no, that was the Andro 6. I stopped taking those because I'm a kid. And I take that stuff because Mark says I can't.
But you do take creatine.
I take creatine. I take Betagen from EAS.
Any message for the kids, Larry, before we let you go here?
Stay in school, and if you don't like school, drop out of school and get a job as soon as possible. And, you know... Think about the Army. It's not a bad way to go. Discipline. That's all I can say, you know. It's like, and forget about wanting to be an actor because, like, it's a drag, man. It takes a long time to get to where I'm.
You're going
to
spend a lot of time in a dark room.
Yeah, a lot of time in a dark room. And, you know.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry Romano.
Larry Romano.
Yes.
We're going to be playing foosball. We're excited about that.
I'll give you these later. We have to be quiet.
CDs.
Oh, give them to us now. We'll take them now.
This is the band. This is the Yankee song. This is actually, there's like 10 songs on here, and there's one song that's really angry about them wanting to move the Yankees to Manhattan.
Ah, yes.
George Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, and Mayor Giuliani want to move the Yankees to Manhattan.
And you're mad about that.
And yeah, they want to charge the taxpayers in New York $1 billion. So right. And this song is kind of a fight for them to say, you know what, you can take them to Manhattan, take them wherever you want, but you can't take our pinstripes, and Yankee Stadium will be there, and we'll put another team in there.
That's Larry
Romano.
Just
like with the Cleveland Browns, you know what I mean? It's like ridiculous.
That's Larry Romano. He, of course, is from South Carolina.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. But now we have to be. Oh, Mike, we have to be quiet now because they are rehearsing out here. We've been told.
Well, Larry is a interesting guy. You know, he's strange. Like he's on the show.
If I was him, I wouldn't put a lot of faith in that record career. Oh, look at this! Wait a minute, hold on. King of Queens football pool.
Oh,
pick sheets are here at Craft Service on the microwave. Gambling equals fun. Play today.
There's the microwave. Hold on.
All right, let's see. Where is the football pool?
Here it is.
Here it is right here. Oh, hey, look at this. King of Queens, they actually bet on the games. Right. Last week's winner, Gary Dodd. Eagles, F-word the Cowboys. In other words, I'm getting sick of losing the week on tiebreaker points. In conclusion, everyone, be sure to congratulate Seth Katz on pulling the worst week of the season.
Just like us.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
They bet on games just like we do. Okay, well, I guess while we got dragged into Larry's dressing room, Leah actually went out to do a rehearsal of a scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
Okay, then this will be a good time to take a break, and when we come back, I guess we will be rehearsing our scenes, and if nobody minds, I would like to go up to our dressing room and have a nice BM.
Excellent job. We'll know to stay clear for a while.
We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
If you please, the Don and Mike Show.
We are back on the set of King of Queens. They're taking a break and a new development. This is Mike out in the hallway. And this is big time TV, ladies and gentlemen, because right now, I kid you not, Don is next to his dressing room getting a massage, and we're about to walk in on him. I'm opening the door now.
Okay,
look at this. Hold on. Hi there. We've come in here. We have one microphone now, and
hi.
I didn't believe this, but you are getting a massage, aren't you?
I am getting a massage, Mike. When you came downstairs and thought it was some sort of joke,
when the lady asked me to take my clothes off, I thought I couldn't believe it. There is actually a masseuse here. What is your name, sweetheart?
My name?
Yes, your name, please.
Roberta.
Roberta is the, I guess, the staff masseuse for the King of Queens. And are you naked under that sheet?
Yeah. Yes, I am. But
where's your underwear?
It is over in the corner. If you want to give it a check, it's in the corner, Mike.
No, I'm going to pass on that.
You will note, though.
All right.
You will please note that I take my socks off for no one. And although I am laying here with a sheet on, naked underneath, I do have no naked feet.
Now, when I get my massage, Roberta, do you turn the lights off like they are? It's very dark in here. Do you turn the lights off when I take my underwear off?
Yes, I will. I'll dim the lights for you, too.
Okay, that's good, because I'm not sure what happened on the plane.
Now, are you gonna come in and do this now, Mike?
I am now, because I was definitely the pussy in this situation. I didn't come in here.
You know, I'll tell you what happened was that the people from King of Queens, one of those assistant directors, said, "Listen, Leah and Kevin set this thing up for you. That this lady's very hard to get a massage with, and it is like an insult if you don't get a massage from her."
So I ran downstairs crying here on the stage of King of Queens. I ran out on Roberta. Yes, I did. And then I said, "Don, you go up and see if it's legit." And you had the courage to remove all of your clothes. And
I did feel like an idiot because she left the room and I was taking my pants off and I took my underpants off. And I said to no one in particular, "If this is a joke, I'm going to effing kill you. If you just want to get a shot of me naked, go ahead."
How is the massage going?
Right now, I've got to be honest with you. You know, I've never had one before.
Right.
It feels pretty good. And I asked her when she was rubbing my back, I said, "Do I feel like a guy who's never had a massage before?" And she said, "Yes, lots of tension."
Lots of tension. And Roberta, who are some of the most famous people you've worked on?
Let's see. There's Leah.
Leah.
There's Kristen from One Life to Live.
Oh.
There's Stevie Wonder.
Oh.
Chaka Khan.
Oh.
Rod Stewart.
Oh. How was Rod Stewart? He didn't fart or anything like that when you were giving him a massage, did he?
No, he's a little man.
He's a tiny little man?
Little wind.
A little wind. And he's in good shape?
Good shape.
What would you say is the best part of Don's body now that you've been running... Now that you've been running your hands all over, what is the best part of his body?
He has nice calves.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yes, just name it.
You're kneading. Let me go back down to his head. And here he is. Now, I'll put the microphone. You can keep your head there. I'll put the microphone.
Are you able to relax, dear?
I am. Well, with my...
We have just had buttock exposure.
Do not show them my ass.
We have had maximum buttock exposure. Hey, she's just doing a normal massage. You go ahead, Roberta. Don't mind us.
No.
There we go.
Do not. Mike. Why don't you be a little more gay, Mike, and reach for the sheet?
I am
flattered that she likes my calves and my glutes. I do run 3 miles a day, and I think my legs are in great shape.
He's a gifted natural athlete, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. See, she's worked on Rod Stewart and Stevie Wonder.
Well, no comment on either one of those guys.
How are you enjoying it? Will you enjoy it more if we leave you alone?
Gee, let me think about that for a moment. Will I enjoy... You know, I already told her because she tried to lift that goddamn sheet up before y'all came in. And
that's how she works on your glutes.
And I said, don't leave my ass out there exposed.
That's all right. It's clean. Or maybe it's clean.
Well, I, like you, had a long airplane ride this morning. Although, I'll tell you what. Thank God when I took my underpants off that they're clean today.
Well, I'm going, I'm right now going to go back to the dressing room and just get ready for my massage by doing a full inspection. And if I pull a Buzz Burbank where I come in here without any underwear, you'll know that in one of the trash cans, there is my shorts.
Well, I have never had a massage before, and right now, the stuff that she's doing now, like rubbing my calves and my thighs, that feels good.
Great.
I'll tell you, that actually feels good.
Do you remember the movie The Flamingo Kid?
Yeah.
You're going to have to do that when she gets to the ceremony. Now the front.
Listen now. There's no way you're seeing my wiener, honey.
You know that.
Hey, Roberta, did you see Rod Stewart's wiener? She's not saying anything. She's not saying anything. So, anyway, here we are, the radio schlumps. We'll let you finish your massage.
It's Mike, it's going pretty good.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you relax.
I will.
Enjoy yourself. And
Listen, after Mike gets his, Robbie, Broyhill, are you guys in line for a massage today?
Do you think you could work, Roberta, on this man over here?
On Robbie?
Rob Spiewak?
Absolutely.
No.
Cover me up. Cover me up. These guys are good. I don't want these guys to see my thing.
Okay, well we're gonna take off now. All right.
Okay, but really take off. Does this door have a lock on it?
Oh, no. You are gay, Mike.
I just
you're gay.
See you later.
Gay. You just pulled my sheet off so you could see my ass and my penis. You're gay.
You got it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Very good.
All right. You are
okay. See you later. Just to give a little description of what happened. Upon leaving, I took the entire sheet off of Don, and we all got a nice little view there. Well, I guess I'm going to get mine next, Rob. Good for you. I think you'll enjoy yourself. And I, right now, I'm going to go repair to the dressing room bathroom and check my shorts.
I think that might be a good idea.
We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
They're not mad at you. They're mad at the dirt. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Studios on the set of The King of Queens. Don and Mike are just about to do their scene. The scene has just begun. It is a scene in Cooper's Bar. Kevin James is sitting at a booth with Larry Romano, who we had on the show earlier today, and they're arguing about where Spence is. Don and Mike are just behind them at a table. Don and Mike are talking. You can hear some of the audio going on. I can see Don Geronimo at this point. He's wearing a Jets jersey. That would be Keyshawn Johnson, Rob. Thank you, Charlie. Kevin James is talking at the booth with Larry Romano.
Where have you been?
And now there's a clear shot of Mike O'Mara as Spence enters the scene. Spence sits down at the booth. Mike is taking a sip.
Did Mike just spit on Don?
It's hard to say. This also introduces the second conflict of the plot. Spence about to move in with Kevin and Lita. They're still arguing. Don and Mike not in this shot, but they're about to be in the next wide shot. Let's listen to some of the dialogue. Don and Mike in that shot. They're talking to each other. They're about to act. There's Mike O'Mara, a nice lingering shot.
Don't worry about him, right? He's just in a bad mood. By the way, we're not on a date. Sit over there.
Mike taking a sip of that beer. We have to find out if that's real beer or fake beer. Mike requested real beer, I know. Don and Mike still in the background.
What do you think they're talking about?
Probably good, clean American fun.
Their massage.
Perhaps
from Warren.
Roberta, Charlie. Her name was Roberta. There's Mike. I'm sorry, there's Don in his Jets jersey. He's easy to spot.
I might just do that.
And the Cooper set is actually much smaller than it appears on television. There's only two booths and one table. Don and Mike are at the table. You can just see Don's sleeve.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Frankly, Charlie, I'm very impressed with their technique, you. They seem like they've been there before. Yeah, they're born to play this thing. Their experience on Babylon 5 is suiting them well. I see a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through on this. If you're just joining us, we are on set at the King of Queens as Don and Mike are taping their scene in Cooper's restaurant. There's Don Geronimo.
I wonder if they're going to try to strike up a conversation with Kevin during this.
It's really hard to say what kind of ad-lib. There's the cut. Let's go over and see how Don and Mike think they did.
Okay.
You hear the applause? You know that's for Don and Mike. Heading over to the set. I think they did a great job. Going over to the Cooper set. They have a glow about them. I think they're pleased with what they did. Shooting Don the okay sign. Looks like they are too busy. Very good. They're now going on set. Excuse me. How do you think you did?
Well, we don't know. How did it look?
It looked great. Charlie saw a lot of Babylon 5. I saw a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through.
Very good.
You got a lot of camera time.
Fantastic.
Who got a lot of camera time?
Both of you. It was a pretty even split.
We're very excited about that.
We were adding a lot to the scene, and I would also like to point out, are we doing this scene again?
I believe we are, yeah.
They are giving us real beer.
We're very excited about that.
This was a question we had. Charlie was curious. What were you talking about?
We were lip-syncing, Rob. That's what acting is. When you're background players, you lip-sync. But we were talking about sex while we were lip-syncing.
Putting on the hits.
Yeah.
And we were also
destroying my reality, guys. If you could, seriously. I'm serious. I gotta stay in character.
That's Pat, and that's Spence, of course, from the show, and we were destroying his reality.
Now, our question. We were given only one direction, that at one point when Larry gets up and says something, we are supposed to react. Did we react?
I think you underplayed it. I would like to see you go real broad on this one.
Okay, all right.
Think Keystone Cops. Think Little Rascals.
Rob, how do you think it's going so far?
Personally, I'm entertained.
Very good.
All right. Remember, we're drinking real beer. I tell you what. Why don't you just go stick a mic in Kevin's face and ask him how he thought we did on that?
You got it.
Very good. Thanks.
Going over to Kevin James. Thank you, guys. Kevin, how do you think Don and Mike did?
I thought they pushed a little bit. I thought they I think they were trying a little hard there. I think I actually saw Mike flex a little his ass cheeks, and that reads on camera.
You want to stay away from that or more of that?
During the taping, stay away from it. Later on in my dressing room,
a lot more. You got it. He says overplay it, guys. Big. Big is big. Exactly. All right, getting ready for take two.
Okay.
Good feedback from the star there, Charlie. Okay, we're back to our monitoring position in the bleachers. Backstage at Sony Television Studios, Hollywood, California. They are rolling right now, ready for the command of action. You can hear the director calling in the background. Ready for take two of scene B as in Baker. A nervous hush. Show business. When they say background, that's when Don and Mike start to pretend to talk. The establishing shot of the scene is a great shot of both Don and Mike. Very easy to spot them.
I'm gonna die.
Crowd seems to be just as pleased with the scene the second time through. And since Don and Mike are drinking real beer, I think we're about to see some real exciting theatrics. Mike O'Mara, dead center screen right now. He is wearing a brown or a tan jacket from Pinehurst Country Club.
Oh, my mommy needs me to drive her, to cut up a meatball, to draw a freaking eyebrow on.
We're gearing up to the portion where Don and Mike really have to act, and they said they were going to play it broader this time. I think it's an exciting moment.
You know what, Spence? I hope the soup is ringing your mother's bell right now.
and now I was gorgo. I met like
once again, Mike O'Mara underplayed it. Rolling with the scene, though, I think he's going to be pleased with the result.
You think I'm a wuss?
It's obvious, man. You don't want to move out.
It's too soon.
No, you know what someone who wants to move out says? They say, I want to move out right now.
The scene seems to have a lot of good momentum the second time through. And I think you can thank two reasons for that. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Through the Thanksgiving weekend, it's necessary. I'm taking my life back tonight.
The scene is nearing completion. Uh-oh. They had to cut early there because of a because Kevin James broke up. I'm curious to think how Larry Romano thought that scene went. I can't see how he would not be happy. Your thoughts, Charlotte?
Well, I agree.
Thank you, Charlie.
What did you think of their performance?
I am very impressed with their performance, and I'm also impressed with all the airtime they're getting. They're professionals. They have done the job.
Kevin thought they overdid it.
Kevin doesn't understand comedy. Okay? Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Don and Mike stole the scene. They stole, what they did, those little bastards, is they came in here and they underplayed it and they stole the scene. You see what I'm saying?
You're saying they stole the scene, basically.
These little bastards stole the scene. I am so damn proud of them.
Let me go relay that.
Okay.
Let's go tell Don and Mike that Leah thinks they stole the scene.
Incredible feedback. Incredible feedback from Leah Remini. You stole the scene. How do you feel about that?
Rob, I'm a little emotional right now. If we stole the scene, I'm very excited.
Frankly, I don't know why we have to do this a third time. I don't know if I have a third take in me.
You know, Sinatra only did one take. Don informed me that during that last take, I had a crumb of onion ring in my mustache. I'm petrified now if that happened.
I think that, you know, you guys were perfect, but you got to, you know, cut a little slack to the other people in the scene.
Yes, the other actors who can't hit their marks
exactly
as well as we can. Pat, are you the reason we're redoing this scene again?
Don, what's a sound you hate? What's your favorite curse word? What turns you on? When you get to heaven, what do you hope God will say to you?
Why do you ask?
You did a film, Electric Boogaloo 2, a personal favorite of mine. In the hospital scene, when you pop and lock in the ICU, what was the sense memory you accessed?
I have no idea. Anybody know what the frig he's talking about?
I believe it's inside the actor's studio.
Do you remember when Leah was talking about Pat and that he's very smart and he floats in a world above us all? That was a classic example, ladies and gentlemen. For all of you listening right now that might not have understood that, please understand that's what it is.
Thank you. Perhaps they'll understand it at a later date. Third take, your thoughts.
Third take, frankly,
unnecessary. Sinatra only did one take.
And frankly, I think the reason we're doing the third take is the girl that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres.
You know what? I'd like a thought from Mr. Larry Romano on this. Larry, I know you're getting your makeup done, but I'd like if I just borrow one moment of your time. How do you feel about the third take?
I love the third take.
Is it your favorite?
It's not as my favorite as the fourth, but I never get a fourth take.
They always say the third time's the charm. Is that at play here?
I don't know. Like I says, I like four. Like in four balls, you get a walk. Three, you strike out, you know? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm going with the walk.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, did they overplay it? Did they underplay it? Or were they, as many other feel, right on the money?
They were good. They really know how to drink a beer. Those guys are really good. I mean, it looks like they're really drinking a beer.
Well, their motivation is they want a beer. And so when they have the beer,
right,
it looks great.
They're at home.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to nominate those guys for what? I don't know. But
they've already been nominated. All right. They're about to do take four. Three, rather. Pardon me. Or as Pat Summerall would say, beg your pardon. So we're back to our secret place. Nervous, tittering, as they prepare for take three. I see good things coming. That buzzer means quiet on the set. You actually hear the slate before the camera, the thing that says take three. Don and Mike in plain sight again. Interesting that every time there's been a different joke on that line. I believe they're having to start the takeover because Charlie Broyhill was talking too much. Charlie, do you want to say you're sorry? Bite me, Ralph. Thank you, partner. So this is technically take four, the one Larry Romano was looking forward to. Going for five, Ralph. Big five. Another joke. And the crowd embraces the joke. A lot of momentum on this scene. I can read the momentum in Charlie Broyhill's eyes. Seems transfixed. Mike O'Mara, dead center, again. I need to drive my mom. Gearing up once again for Don and Mike's big moment where they actually have an acting direction. They have to overplay this. Because nobody told his worst that he's 32 years old, not 8. Forget it. I'm going back to the firehouse. You know what, Spence? I hope the soup is ringing your mother's bell right now. Not the doorbell. I meant like he's ringing. I know it. Dead on by Mike O'Mara. Dead on. I believe that's what the director was looking for.
By the way, we're not on a date.
Charlie, I don't want to jinx it, but don't you feel the momentum on this is strong?
Very strong.
Yeah, very strong. We like that one. That might be the keeper. We'll know shortly. Leah, how did you like that one?
That was great. And I noticed that Mike, when Larry Romano like starts yelling, getting loud in the restaurant, Mike was like, hey, he looked at him like he was...
He took the direction well.
Did you notice that? He was like, hey, why is that guy yelling?
Yeah, he flirted with that in takes one through three, but it was take five.
A lot of atmosphere. They don't actually take the time because they know that they're atmosphere, so they don't usually react. But Mike, that bastard, he's so good.
Well, he took direction on that. He was instructed to that. I think he was dead on. All right, let's go get the reaction from the atmosphere themselves. Let's see, there's a myriad of cameras, wires. Even though the scene is over, Don's still in character and drinking that beer. Scene's over. You don't need to drink that beer anymore.
Rob, we still have another scene coming up. I would like to introduce one of the other players in the show. Oh, hold on, please.
Are you an L? And you're an L? Even if you guys weren't in L, Connie?
Oh, we need to change, right?
Yeah.
Yes. We have a costume change coming up.
It's time for a costume change.
Oh, no, hey, the extra...
How was it? Chris, did we do well? Chris says we did well.
The extra who was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres...
Where did she go? She's vanished.
Did she just run away?
She's vanished.
Is that her over there?
No, that's not her.
No, that is her. Yeah,
it
no,
is.
I wanted
okay.
to finish
let's,
talking
let's
to
do
her.
An interview.
Hey, now don't hide from us. Come here. You were so nice.
All right,
you're
now,
so nice.
A lovely
give a fake name. Why would you give a fake name? You're on national radio.
How is that?
All right, now you are. Would you describe yourself as a career extra? Is that what you are?
Oh gosh, I hope not.
How many shows have you done this type of thing, background extra work on? How many shows have you been on?
Well, I've been on shows for like a long time. I was on one show for 7 years, and
like with a speaking part or like background stuff.
Speaking around and background.
Oh really?
What was that show?
That would be Seinfeld.
Now, oh, you remember that this is the gal that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and hit on by Ellen DeGeneres.
That's a, you know, cross-gender hitting on. Who hit on you better, Seinfeld or DeGeneres?
Oh, definitely Seinfeld.
Seinfeld did a better job?
Yeah.
Ellen was more subtle, was, too awkward?
now.
Jerry was the gentleman.
Oh, really?
And no offense, we realize you've been on television certainly years longer than we have, but you're the reason we had to do that scene over four times.
Well, it could be. I felt the first one was a little weak, but I felt I had a lot of talking going on at the table next to me, a little...
Do you think, you know where we were sitting?
Do you think we were talking too loud, really?
Nearby. You could say, you could say the actors, I could say you. And it, you know, I'm just saying.
Okay, all right. You know? But overall, how would you rate, being the fact that we are rookies at this type of thing? Well, of course, aside from our work on Babylon 5 and Briscoe County Jr.
That is so funny.
Don't laugh, that's really our resume, honey.
That's our resume.
That's our real resume.
So, you know, aside from those two, how would you rate our performance?
Great.
Thank you. Another thumbs up.
Thank you.
As did you. Pleasure meeting you.
Do you want to give us your real name?
Resemblance to John Cleese.
Really, John Cleese?
No.
There's another one. There's one to add to Brian Keith and Brian Dennehy.
That's good. Now it's John Cleese. Really? Thank you very much. I am warmed. I am warmed by your compliment. Do you want to give us your real name before we go?
Sure, Peggy.
Peggy, thank you so
much.
Peggy, for that
thank you, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Cleese, it was a you bastard. It was a highly successful appearance. We have to now go get changed. A four goddamn take.
Oh, I tell you, it was unnecessary. But
five.
It was five.
There was two false starts because Kevin tripped his joke twice.
You know, when you're working with people that
amateurs
aren't the level of professionals that we are. That's what happens, Charlie.
Oh my!
The question I have for both Rob and Charlie, who saw it, Mike and I, our big chance to act was when Spence says something and Larry gets pissed off and walks away.
We're supposed to react. Did we do a good job?
Did we react?
Actually, in that scene, on at least one of the takes, only Mike was in it, and I think on the last.
God damn it! That's it. I've spilled my Diet Coke.
Oh dear!
But who gets the onstage cross in the next scene?
Don does.
That's right.
Don does.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Wouldn't I know it?
Do
wouldn't
you
it
remember?
Be just the luck?
Do you remember?
Oops. We have to be quiet now.
We
have to break.
Okay.
We have to break. Great, great. My best acting. Edited out. Typical story of my life.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we'll be back with more.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Sonny Jurgensen. They told me to say I didn't listen to your show. Honestly, I do listen to it. I don't like it, but I listen to it. And this is the type of affair that you should be at. Your kind of people, everybody misses you. I've had 15 or 20 people ask where you were this evening. So I think it's the type of thing that maybe you'll come next year.
Can't speak, am dumb. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, we understand what is the timeline of the show goes. As it turns out, our final bit that we're going to have to play today on our radio show will be our final scene tonight on King of Queens.
This is scene L, and we are about to go and be extras once again behind the scenes in Cooper's Bar.
And incidentally,
the King of Queens.
Incidentally, this is where I will have my most challenging performance. Because
this is a real physical. It's a physical role for you, and I know that's a challenge, but I know you're going to do very well.
I will actually be walking across the set, and I think you'll notice for this, I've changed my look. I've taken my contacts out.
And you put glasses on.
And I've gone to my glasses.
You look like a different... You look like a different person. You truly do.
Now, Mike, I would like to... Yes, we changed shirts also.
Yes.
I would like to introduce the young lady who's going to help me because I'm so freaking stupid not to know when to walk across the set.
What is your name?
Hey, y'all. My name's Karen.
Karen, and you'll be cueing Don on when to walk across the set?
Yeah, I'll be giving him a nod. And yeah,
are you an experienced person in these ways of being, you know, this scenery that we all are?
Oh, yeah, I'm an experienced nodder, yes.
Okay, so I look at you, and when you nod, I walk across and sit across from my friend Mike.
You'll be great. Don't be nervous.
Okay.
No doubt I will. It's another challenge. It's another mountain to climb.
All right. Now that I know my motivation.
Yes.
I'm set.
I'm prepared. I know you got a lot more work to do in this scene. All I have to do is sit.
Now, Mike, I will tell you that once again in the scene that features, I believe, Kevin.
It's a real beer, which is very exciting.
Kevin's sitting here with... who does he sit here with?
I have no idea, Don. To be honest with you, I'm simply finding my motivation, and I'm trying to motivate myself for this scene. So I'm really not focusing on the other performers. And you know something? You got a lot of work to do. I wouldn't focus on the other performers either.
Guys, would there be a chance that Mike and I could get some more real beers for this scene? Anytime you want.
Fantastic. I'll be sitting over there.
Because these guys were nice enough to hook us up when we did our last scene.
I really think the real beer.
They kept bringing us real beer.
Don't you think the real beer is the key to the success of this fantastic show? Okay.
All right, let's be ready when they get here, guys.
Rob, we're turning it over to you now.
All right. Hello, Charlie.
I pass it over to Charlie Broyhill. And once again, guys, directly after the scene, if you could go to Kevin or whoever's here to get the reaction.
Very exciting. Don, I wish you break a leg.
Now, again, let me just run through this. She will cue me when it is time.
And I will be simply sitting with no dialogue. Watch how I play this scene.
Don?
Yes, Robbie.
For me, if you would, when you do your first cross, play it broad.
Would it be out of line if I tripped and fell?
I think you just want to skip.
How about a Chevy Chase pratfall?
That's what I just said to these guys. How about if I fall?
Do you think it's asking too much for a real fall? Maybe fall right across their table.
Hey, Mike, and our favorite guy just brought you another Foster's.
Well, it looks like it's time for me to get to the set. And
I'm rehearsed.
We're going to see what's going to happen. I'm really excited about this scene. I mean, the first scene was okay, but this is where we're really going to shine.
This is the real action time for me.
Right. How many takes do you predict?
This is, okay, excuse me, everybody. This is my big break. Give me a moment. Goodbye.
Break a leg, Don.
Okay, background energy.
All right, cool. You're out of here.
Don, Charlie. Yes? I don't know, but I think you could only describe the atmosphere as electric.
Okay.
Thank you once again for your support.
Oops.
Sorry. Getting back to the bleachers as they gear up for scene L at Cooper's. If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting live on tape from the Sony Pictures Studios in Hollywood, California. Don and Mike are about to shoot their second scene. This is exciting because this is the scene where Don actually has a stage direction. He crosses stage left to the booth where Mike is drinking real beer. Charlie, I'm not familiar with the scene because I did not see rehearsals. Can you add anything?
I didn't see any of the rehearsals for this scene either. So no, I can't.
I'm looking forward to watching this.
Good.
Of course, we will we'll also try and let you hear some of the dialogue.
They are rolling, awaiting the call for action. Perhaps a minor glitch as we wait the call of action from the director. I think Don is looking for some more motivation.
Or Mike is looking for some more beer.
Take one.
And they're off and running.
There's Don Geronimo crossing stage left. Mike O'Mara, he greets Mike O'Mara and sits down. Great shot of Don's bald spot. He will be so excited that you pointed it out. I think perhaps hair and makeup might have wanted to look into that.
He did not paint it
before this shot. They could use a little powder, maybe a little bit of foundation. It's a short scene, and that's it. And once again, that's the scene between Kevin and Larry Romano in Cooper's Bar. Let's go see how Kevin thought it went. I think they nailed it. Charlie, how about you?
Oh, definitely.
Thank you.
Sure.
We're getting ready to go. Jeff Sussman, manager of Kevin James. How do you think Don and Mike did in that scene?
I thought they were incredible.
I mean, really, do you think they ever played it?
I'll tell you, they really have a future.
Don's cross when he walked stage left. How did you think of that?
Unbelievable. Now, which guys were Don and Mike?
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your hospitality. Let's get Don and Mike's reaction. Larry, did you see Don walk across the stage?
He was good, man. This guy is on. I tell you, it must be his day.
You can't see it because you're facing the other way. Did you see in the monitor Don's bald spot?
Yeah, you know what? Even that was hitting the light in the right angle. This freaking guy's on fire. I don't know what we're going to do with him. You better take him back to D.C. He's going to take all our jobs.
That spot is on the mark.
It's on the mark.
Get him out of here.
Brian.
Don.
Brian.
Great job on the cross. You'll be pleased to know that hair and makeup did not cover your bald spot, and that's in a good hunk of the scene.
Jesus Christ. I cannot win, can I? But what about when I walked out? It's not like my bald spot was facing the TV when I walked out, right?
No, but whenever they have the medium shot on Larry Romano directly behind you,
There's that nice spot looking right back at the camera.
Rob, more important than the bald spot, was my face on camera?
Yes, it was.
It was?
It looked really good.
Did it really?
It did.
Oh, my God. Was it, Charlie?
It was. It
I
was.
Can't friggin' win on this show. But you walked. How was Don's walking?
God, it was beautiful. I almost classify it as a traipse.
I got to tell you something, man. I think that we're naturals. I really do. I think it's been wonderful. And you know, what's the key? Real beer.
Real beer.
Real beer.
Thank God we're drinking the real beer.
After America sees your walk done, there's going to be a new nickname, and that nickname is Johnny Hovercraft.
Oh, because we're getting direction. Up, we're getting
up,
direction.
Listen up, listen up.
Everybody, listen up. Catherine, listen up. I don't know if we're cleaning this scene. We'll, in like 5 or 10 minutes, we'll find out. So in 10 minutes, meet me around craft service. If we're done, we'll sign you out, okay? But do not change out.
All
right.
Very important
then,
Rob.
Very important.
Yes.
Hey.
No, Rob.
Oh, okay.
In the next 10 minutes, I want you to go find me some GLH. Great looking hair. You know that stuff where you paint your bald spot?
Hey, come on over here. We have another extra. I want to ask you about the food. Come on. I want to ask you about the food.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in that scene, in that last scene, Don ate an onion ring. Now you immediately said, did you really eat that? Now, you have experience doing this extra work, right?
Yeah, this is only props, so you shouldn't have ate it. So you'll find out by tomorrow.
What did you? Well, now, what did you do? Did you loogie in it, or did you put some kind of X-lax in it, or
it's just not supposed to be eaten?
No, it's just actually it's not food. It's made artificial. You didn't taste that?
What do you mean?
Best onion ring I ever had.
Was that the same thing in the first scene?
It's all spices, you know?
Because I feel nauseous now because I ate a lot of onion rings in the first scene. I wasn't supposed to.
I don't think so.
Oh, my
God. Let me ask you something. As a Hollywood regular, how would you categorize our performance? I know you probably think this is our first time in front of the camera, but I'll have you know, this is our third time in front of the camera.
Are you familiar with our work on Babylon 5 or Briscoe County Jr.?
No.
We were featured.
How would you categorize our work today? You were in both of our scenes. How would you categorize it?
You looked like pros, so I thought you must have done that before.
I noticed a trace of an accent. Are you from New York?
Germany.
Germany. You know what we say about Germany on this show? Never again.
Never again. That's right. Never forget. Right.
No.
Well, what's your first name?
Sonia.
Sonia.
Sonia, are you an American citizen now?
I always was.
Oh, you always were.
Oh, good. Then don't tell people you're from Germany. Tell people you're from America.
Yeah, I was born in New Jersey, but my parents moved to Munich, so.
Ah, München. Yeah, das ist in München. Oktoberfest, yeah.
Das macht der Tio mit einem Finger. Do you know what that means?
No.
No,
we don't
either. You don't know. How about,
you should know.
Okay, how about if we were to say to you, Essen mein Scheiß.
Oh, that's what you just did.
Oh, you got me.
She's talking about the onion ring.
You got me. All right, nice meeting you.
Thanks a lot, Sonia.
Nice meeting
you.
Well,
very much.
Unless we need...
Eat my ass. What a fitting way. What a fitting way to end any exchange.
Unless we need to do this scene again.
We don't.
I guess that's... I mean, we're out of time anyway for the network show.
Oh, he's taking our beer. He's taking...
Oh, they're taking... Hey, they're closing the bar down.
Oh, good. Very good. Last call for alcohol.
Him for the real stuff. I thought that was the real stuff we were drinking.
We really drank that. Was that bad? Oh, okay.
Oh, it's non-alcoholic.
Oh, it's non-alcoholic. Why was I drinking?
Didn't you think we were getting drunk?
I did. We're such slumps.
Mike, I am disappointed in you.
I know. I thought it was a bad thing. I was nervous, Rob. I thought it was real.
You know what? I was walking around feeling all loosey-goosey because I thought we had a couple beers.
That's in mine, shies.
Oh, that's just awful.
Well, we're done with our little segment, and now it's on to the cast party.
Did you ask either Kevin or Spencer, anybody, what they thought of our performance?
I spoke to Kevin's manager. He loved it. And also Larry Romano, very pleased with your walk especially.
Excellent.
Right, but that bald spot, now that worries me.
He did say that your bald spot hit its mark, though.
Oh, shut up, Rob. Well, I guess that's it.
What a day it's been.
On the show, what time is it right now on Monday? Approximately what time is it, guys?
Do we have any idea?
Time to go over?
I can guess it's about 7:04.
Oh, then we're already over.
All right, well, listen, let's just take a quick walk and see if we can find Kevin or Leah to tell them officially on the radio, thank you.
And you haven't even spent any time with Stiller yet.
Oh, and listen, I got to tell you, Jerry Stiller is a mental patient that I was watching him when they were doing a couple of takes, and he has to stand behind this wall by himself and repeat the same lines over and over and over again.
That's the way it'll be when both of us are older, too.
Now,
I guess they're blocking one of the last scenes. Is that what they're doing here?
Yeah, let's see if we can just find Kevin or Leah to tell them thank you officially.
Now, of course, when that buzzer goes off, we'll have to be very quiet, so we have to whisper.
But the buzzer has not gone off yet.
Are we going to try to make our way?
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
You're right. We were great. Thank you.
Are we going to make our way behind the scenes here?
Yeah, let's go back by Leah's dressing room and Kevin's dressing room to see if we can find them. Either way, I know that we'll have lots more to tell everybody on tomorrow, meaning Tuesday's episode. Oh, there goes Leah. Bye, Leah. Bye-bye. Well, no, you know what? Here's why I don't think we should approach Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, he's about to do his scene, and that
would
be...
I'm telling you, I was watching Jerry Stiller about a half hour ago. He is like a mental patient.
That's the second time you have said that, and now he's going to hear this, and he's going to drive to your house, and it's going to be all over.
No.
I will never be invited back again.
I saw him standing behind one of these drop sets.
He was rehearsing his line.
And he was going,
Douglas, what about foosball? Douglas,
okay.
What about foosball? Douglas, what about foosball?
And now he's standing roughly 10 feet away from us.
So are they doing the last scene? Is that what they're doing?
I think that's about it, the end of the show, right?
Well, we still don't know how the show ends.
So we have to go out and watch it and see how the show... And you have to watch it
to find out how it ends.
Now, hold on. Here are our stylists.
Yes, ladies?
Hold on. What?
If you guys want to go and wash your face, take your makeup off, I have...
No, we don't want to wash the makeup off.
We're going to keep it on through the weekend.
Are you tired of talking?
No.
Never. Listen, we want to thank you for making our faces up.
Oh, that's it. Quiet.
Thank you. Okay.
Now we have to go.
Oh, and Mike, this guy right here?
The assistant.
This is Jerry Stiller's boy.
Quiet.
It's the guy that was feeding him his lines. And... Roll, please.
Speed, action, and action.
They didn't say action.
I'm waiting for them to say action.
They didn't say action yet.
They will, after the cameras are rolling. Roll video.
Roll video.
And action. Action.
What are you gonna do to get a little action on this show?
Yeah. They're rolling something they shot earlier.
Oh, then why are we whispering? If the audience is listening to something on videotape...
Because they're going to blend it with...
They just said action. Okay, listen. We will be back tomorrow, even though it's really Friday now. We will tell you that this show that we taped today with King of Queens with our two scenes, in which we're definitely not in the background. Oh, hey, come here. Let's just go in Leah's room because we can talk in here for a minute. These two scenes that we taped... Oops. Hi. Who do we walk in on here? Well, it's Leah's sister and some other guy.
Hi, Shannon.
We
have to be quiet.
Oh, there. Okay. I felt like I just walked in on Britney Spears and her manager.
I know.
The show that we taped today will air the Monday before Thanksgiving.
The TV show. The show you're hearing right now, we're recording on Friday. I'm so, so totally confused.
Okay, so listen, that's it. We will see you tomorrow, Tuesday. We hope you've enjoyed this scene behind the scenes of King of Queens. And if all works out in about an hour from now,
we will be taking Kevin and Leah out, and we will be getting bombed out of our minds. So our thanks to Leah,
to Kevin James,
to Kevin, to
Chris,
the director,
the assistant director who did a great job.
Right to that guy Spence. Who else, Robbie?
Special thanks to Patton Oswalt. Larry Romano was fantastic. The hair and makeup people were great, and I think you said Chris, the assistant director, was fantastic.
The AD, he was a great guy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Charlie.
Sure.
And Buzz, hope you enjoyed your 4-day weekend.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Mike.
And thank you to Jerry Stiller's boy.
And we will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look how loud I have to yell!
This all seems a little elaborate for Sloppy Joe's. I know what the other 11 forks are for, but what do you do with this one?
Why, Marge, I believe you're supposed to scratch your ass with it.
Homer, watch your left. Oh, that's a lifesaver.
Reminding you to pull out Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, indeed. We made it back live.
Yes.
Alive, rather, from L.A.
Really? And, you know, we were involved in that big news story that you heard about.
Yes. Oh, and we will be getting to our experiences in the earthquake because good. We were there firsthand for it. But let me just bring you up to speed on stuff that happened after the show was over on Friday, after the radio show was over.
Please.
Right. You know, I thought that we would have the tape of us being introduced with the cast, but guess what happened? The tape ran out.
Ah, so we didn't get... You know, we were kind of awkward there anyway, so it's not that big a deal, because we were getting a curtain call in front of the live studio audience at King of Queens, and we were talking, you know, into one microphone as we did it. It was kind of slapped together at the last second. They came out of nowhere and said, you're going to get a curtain call, and then we, you know, had to grab the tape
and
recorder.
They brought us out first. What was so funny was that Kevin James and Leah Remedy came up and said, listen, we do a curtain call after we get done filming the show.
Right.
Tonight, you guys are going to come out first.
Right.
And we said, oh, this is a great treat. Thank you.
Very exciting.
So we're standing backstage waiting the directors, waiting to give us the cue to come out. They're going to say, here's your cast from the show. We're going to be the first ones introduced. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they do it like, you know, live theater.
Well, there's this other couple of actors, a guy and a girl, who play Kevin and Leah's friends on this episode.
Yeah, they're the character actors that were hired for the one episode.
Right. And they actually had lines in the show, and they were part of the plot.
Right.
Well, they came to this little backstage area, and Mike and I are standing there because we've been told we're going out first.
Uh-huh. They were not happy.
We're standing there with that guy, Spence. His real name is Pat.
Right. Great guy.
Right. Oh, he's got an HBO show coming out soon that we're going to be talking about, I guess.
Cool.
He's got like one of those half-hour HBO shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing back there talking to him, and these two actors, these other people, they come back and they physically start to push Mike and me away. They go, excuse me, you have to back up because we're going to be called out.
Right. This is when the assistant director had put us basically in the spot where we were going to walk out and get a curtain call. We didn't know it was coming. We didn't ask for it. We were thrilled. We thought it was so cool. We didn't have any speaking parts, and they're going to bring us out like we're real cast members. We were excited.
Sure. So these two actors are standing by there. They physically take Mike at that point. I think you were sitting in the chair.
Yeah, I was sitting in the chair, and you were standing up in front of me. And I was kind of like looking at your butt.
And they almost pushed me into your lap.
I didn't see that. They were in back of you.
Yeah, the guy
came right in that little hole where we were supposed to go out through the door.
The guy came around this corner. He says, "Hey, excuse me."
Was that the guy? See, the guy really was just a ween. He didn't like sharing the spotlight at all. He's the one that said, "Move over here, dude."
Yeah. So he says that. He says, "Move over here, dude." He kind of pushes me out of the way. Right. And then, great moment. The director comes up and grabs him by the arm and says, "Excuse me. These guys are going out first."
Right.
And he
right.
takes this actor and his actress wife, the lady who played his wife on the
yeah,
show.
She was fine. She was very cool.
Yeah.
Good.
They took them to the back of the line. So they get done with the show. And I wish we had this on tape. As it turns out, the tape recorder ran out of tape.
Right.
But the guy that does the warm-up goes, "Okay, it was a great episode. Let's welcome your King of Queens cast. Here they are, Don and Mike." And we come running out.
We're good at that. We can make entrances. You know, we like doing that. We go out and take the big old bow.
And then did you notice that when the guy that tried to push us out of the way,
right,
when he was introduced, when we were standing out on stage,
yes,
when he came out, he actually pushed us again.
Well, that's when I said it. That's when he said, "Move over, dude." That's when he said, and he said it, you know, when somebody calls you dude
right.
in not the most flattering way,
mm-hmm.
that's the way he said it to me. That's the first time he said, "Hey, move over. over here, dude.
Because there was a
like, you know, hey, Mr. Novice, you don't know. Well, no, I didn't know where to stand. I didn't know where to go.
There was a spot on the floor that apparently they had told us we should go stand at, like a piece of red tape on the floor.
Which didn't really make sense to me because the cameras were off, correct?
Right.
They weren't filming it, were they?
Right, which is why, frankly, we didn't. We just stood right in the middle of the stage.
Yeah, we said, why? Yeah, you just go out there and you're taking a bow. You know, it's like one of our Las Vegas style shows.
we get done with that, and that was great fun. And that
they couldn't have been. I mean, the fact that they did that, you know, the production people and the director, and they let us do that was beyond, way beyond what we expected, and we thank them for that.
The episode will air on Monday, November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot miss us. We're in two scenes. The one scene we're in for 3 or 4 minutes, and the other one we're on for about 30 seconds.
And this is where you come in, our listeners, because you see, with all of this, we finally figured out the reason they're doing all this. They believe that we are responsible for getting them big ratings, so we want to call on all our listeners to make sure.
Yeah, you got
to
watch that episode.
I mean, you got to. It's real, and you got to tell your friends and your friends' friends to watch this. We have to make this the highest rated episode.
Well, we got a couple of weeks to work on the hype.
Sure, of course.
And then I hope everybody was able to get an insight into what it's like to make a television show.
Absolutely.
We did.
I bet for most of the show yesterday, we sounded like two chickens running around with their heads cut off, but
I think one of the guys here, Timmy Obibene, the Nigerian Nightmare, was telling us that he really got a feel for what it's like to be backstage at a television show, and that's what we were shooting for.
We did get that feeling.
So when we got done with the show, at that point, they're going to have a cast party. They're going to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got done with the show, it's very late.
Mm-hmm.
For our time, it's like midnight our time.
Yep.
And here's a shock for you. Mike says he doesn't want to go out.
Well, it was late, and it was an awkward moment, and I just felt as though it was time to move on, and I was. I mean, that was a long day. That day started at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, here on the East Coast, and it ended at 10 o'clock at night, California time, and it was just a, you know, long day running around.
So they said, why don't you guys come out with us? Mm-hmm. And then Mike said no, he, you know, would feel awkward, and Rob was tired, Charlie was tired.
Right.
So they ended up getting in a cab and leaving, and me, because, you know, I'm the celebrity jock sniffer.
Right.
As long as they're going to invite me, I'm going to go.
Right. Sure.
So I'm waiting around with Leah and her mother and Leah's hairdresser.
Oh, boy.
And then, before we leave, I got to tell you this. You know, throughout the whole show, we had avoided Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Kind of on purpose, because he's like in a ritual before they tape this
show.
Yeah,
he's pretty focused on what he's doing.
So right as we're walking out, Leah says to me, I'm walking out the door to go to this party as myself and Kevin James and Leah Remedy, your mother. And Leah says, oh, come here, I want to introduce you to Jerry. And I said, no, you know what? I mean, I got to see him and everything. Really, that's okay. She says, no, come meet him. Kevin James says, no, listen, let's just keep going.
Right.
She says, no. She brings me over to his dressing room. She says, Jerry, I want you to meet a friend of mine. This is Don from the Don and Mike Show. Mm-hmm. They're the disc jockeys. We're here taping today.
Mm-hmm.
He looks me right in the eye, Jerry Stiller. He shakes my hand and he goes, nice to meet you. So you're related to Kevin? And I just kind of look, and Kevin said, yeah, that's right, Jerry. He's related to me. We'll see you later.
Oh, that's terrific.
So we get out of there. Then we're driving all over Hollywood to try to go to this restaurant where they're going to have the party at.
Right.
We get there, and it's all the people from the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm really feeling at this point like the odd man out.
Right. Sure.
Because it's in a restaurant, but they have a whole back of the restaurant that they've roped off. And they have those big couches, like used to be on Playboy After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
The couches that go like across one corner of the room.
Yeah, so everybody can get intimate.
Yeah, so everybody's like talking to each other, but I'm just sitting on this part of the couch by myself.
Right.
Drinking. I was drinking very heavily at this point.
Good.
And Leah was trying to be polite and talking to me, but every time she would start to talk to me, someone else would talk to her, so she would talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting there, and just at the moment I was thinking, you know what? It was a mistake for me to come.
Right.
I did overstay the welcome.
Mm-hmm.
In walks Kevin James with his Asian girlfriend.
Right.
And a couple of other chicks.
Uh-huh.
And he comes over and he sits down next to me. And then for the next hour,
right,
pounding him with Kevin.
There you go.
It's like, boom, back and forth. And I'm sure that he was drunk when he said this,
mm-hmm,
but he did say, when are you guys coming back to do this again?
That's very cool.
That's nice.
He said that earlier in the evening, too, so that's cool. That's
so
very cool.
I said, I'm going to hold you to this. So we stayed there about an hour and a half. It's
phony goddamn showbiz with, like, the people coming up and kissing each other on the cheek and going, you know, I want to tell you something. Your performance tonight, it was beautiful.
You're beautiful, baby.
You know, just such crap. Right. Just dripping down. So I'm there about an hour and a half. I'm getting ready to split. And I said to Leah and Kevin, they were sitting by me, said, guys, I'm going to just get a cab,
right,
and go out to the airport. And then she starts saying, no, come with me to see Angelo.
Right.
Her boyfriend was making a record.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
He's an aspiring singer.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, you know what, I really feel like at this point, I'm like horned in enough on your phone
right.
for this evening. And she's like, no, come with me because there won't be a man in the car. It was just her and her makeup person.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so come with us to the studio. And Kevin then pulls me aside and he says, I got to tell you something. It's going to be very boring going there. Said, why don't you come out with me?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, you know what? I'm going to go see what Angelo's doing. So
right.
Kevin says, maybe I will swing by and pick you up later.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Great. We get in the car, little bombed,
right,
in the back seat. Leah's in the front seat. The other girl's driving. We get to the studio, big, major recording studio.
Right.
We walk inside, and it's like you see on television, or if you've ever been in a real recording studio, there's a big, gigantic board,
mm-hmm,
and about two studios away with panes of glass in between,
right,
there's Leah's boyfriend, Angelo,
mm-hmm,
and he's singing. And he's like not doing a Ricky Martin thing, but it's something like that.
Right.
And I sit down, and I start listening to this,
mm-hmm,
and then Leah says to me, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think Angelo's great. And she said, no, come on, don't bust my balls. What do you think, really? And I said, well, really, what I really think is that his singing is very good, but whoever that backup singer is awful. And then because...
So you were feeling your oats a little bit,
yeah,
this day. To be, you're in your brutally honest stage, huh?
Very late.
All right.
Frankly, I've had about maybe a full bottle of wine by myself. I'm goofy tired.
Right.
And now I'm having visions of me being his producer.
The record producer, yes. With the good ear, that disc jockey, that program director ear.
Right. On the way over, I've made Leah sit through all my stories about, you should see my wall at home. I have gold records. I was a music director for major stations. I can hear a hit record. So she says, really, what's wrong? And I said, what's wrong is that the bitch that's singing backup is simply off key.
Right.
She says, well, why don't you just tell them? And at that point, I was
she there or were they playing a track?
No. She was there.
She was there.
It was like it was Angelo and this backup singer,
mm-hmm,
in a studio, three studios away, and Leah and myself and these other people and the real producer sitting,
right,
there running the thing. So she said, why don't you say something? I said, okay. I get up and I press the button for the intercom. And I'm talking to the microphone. I go, hey, Angelo, how you doing? And he goes, he clicks back and he goes, you know, hey, hello, Don. How are you? How did it go tonight? I said, hey, it went great. Can I talk to you for a second? Anything you want to say to me, just go ahead and say it.
And I said,
I want to tell you, you're great, but that lady you're singing with, she's not hitting her progression on the keys. And there's silence for a second.
Oh, my God.
And he goes,
she's there?
Yeah, she's standing there with him. Well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I'm bombed.
Oh, God.
I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, what do you mean? And I say, now this is where I'm really acting like I know what I'm doing. I go, there's a progression, Angelo. Your notes go, ah-ha-ha-ha. And I said, when you get to the ah-ha-ha-ha, you're fine. I said, she's killing you on about the second one. And he goes, can we get a playback on that, please? So now the producer's giving me the evil eye.
Oh, my God.
And he rewinds the tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we listen to it. And damned if she's not hitting the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking very proud. I've got my arms folded like this.
Right.
I'm looking around the room. And I'm thinking, you know what? Damn it, I'm producing a record right now.
There you go.
I'm really doing it. And all of a sudden, the door flies open. And it's the background singer. And she is about 300 pounds.
Oh.
And she has long, long fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Real long. Big black woman. She comes up and she puts a fingernail right in my chest and she says, who are you? And I said, hi, I'm Don. I'm a friend of Leah and of Angela's. And she says, I am Mrs. Barry White. And I think I know a few things about hitting notes. And I want to tell you something. You're full of F.
Really?
And then I said, I think your husband is a fantastic performer.
There's no bigger Barry White fan in the world than me.
But
if you were to listen to the playback, I said, I'm sorry. It sounds to me like you can't hit those notes. And then there was another awkward moment of silence.
Right.
She said, I need a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves the room. And now I think, well, now I've done it. Now I've screwed everything up for Angelo and for Leah. Well, Angelo comes around, her boyfriend, and he says, thank God you said something. He said, she has been doing that. I have been here since 8:30. She has been doing this all night to me.
I love it when you put the accent on him that he doesn't have. That
well, he does. No, he does have a slight accent.
But you turn him into like he should be down in like a Tijuana jail somewhere.
He does have a slight, right. Like a Mediterranean accent.
Yeah, I don't. So you always, I think it's because his name is Angelo.
No, he has
an
accent.
Hey, Don, how are you?
The music was at.
It was Latin music.
Yes.
All right, but I don't think. I mean, I really don't think he's got the accent.
He has a slight accent. Or maybe I'm exaggerating, but he does have an accent.
Okay.
So he says,
Don, we are done. Thank you so much for coming to the recording session.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him. You want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
They faced those demons before, Don and Mike.
I said to him, I'm sorry, I think I've really effed things up. I said I had a little too much to drink at dinner.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't have been here. And I said, fuck, look, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning, which was almost 4 o'clock in the morning, real time.
Right.
I said, I gotta go. Why don't you just call me a cab, and I'm just gonna go to the hotel. And then Leah says, No. You're going to spend the night at our house. And I'm running this through my mind. Now, there's a part of me that, I would like to go and spend the night at their house, but I'm thinking...
in bed with both of them.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and be hungover out of my mind and tell my wife that I spent the night at Leah Remini's house.
Right.
I go, that's not going to happen. Just call me a cab. And at that moment, I mean, like a vision from God, door opens, here comes Kevin James.
Kevin James coming to the studio.
He says, hey, are you ready to get out of here? I said, absolutely. Get me the hell out of here. Please, I'm ready to go.
Right.
So I shake hands with Leah's boyfriend, and I go up and I say to Mrs. Barry White, you know, sorry if I offended you.
And how'd that go over?
Not very well.
Right.
And then I say goodbye to Leah, and I go and I get in the car with Kevin, and Kevin says, so what are you up for? And I said, well, I don't know. I think I'm about tapped out on this.
Right.
And he says, where are you staying? I said, I think we're staying at Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. He says, no, that's a bad move. You got to stay out by the airport so you can stay out longer. You know where we went? You know those places out by the airport that say live, nude, girls?
Yeah, right. I mean, right outside the airport.
Right by the Carl's Jr.? Right.
Yeah, that place.
That's where we went.
Oh, really? You went into the bar?
With Kevin.
Oh, my God.
And his girlfriend. Sat there for maybe a half hour, and I had another glass of wine. And
right.
Apparently, Kevin goes in that place all the time. Like, he walked in, he waves, and everybody turns, hey, it's Kevin James. And,
right.
You know, there was conversation at that point, but the music was loud, and I was so tired. And I finally just said, you know, it got to be 2 a.m.
Right.
And I said, you know what, Kevin, on the real time, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I never stay up this late. I really got to go.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, we get in the car, drops me off at the Embassy Suites. Big bear hug outside, you know. They're like, man, you guys are great. Thanks.
Wow.
I said, you know, no, you're great. You're fantastic. I check into this hotel. I go up to the room. I lay down on the bed. It's about 2:15. And just as I fall asleep, that's when the pictures fell off the wall.
Unbelievable.
And the pictures did not fall off the wall because I was drunk.
Right.
The pictures fell off the wall because at 2:45 a.m., had a 7.5 earthquake.
Mm-hmm. You know, you had gone out later, and I'm in bed, and I was awakened, and I thought when I opened my eyes, I thought that I'd missed the flight, and that somebody from our crew was inside shaking my bed violently to actually get me to wake up, and it wasn't. I mean, it was actually the earthquake moving the bed back and forth.
Wow.
And I was, when you're awakened out of a deep sleep from this, and you all of a sudden realize, hey, man, the bed is shaking. I'm in California. Earthquake! Earthquake!
what? And I went outside, and the hotel that that you were supposed to stay in was an atrium hotel, and it has the elevators on the inside.
Oh, right.
And the other memory I have was opening the door. I have no shirt on, and I'm wearing jeans with no shirt on, and I'm standing out in the hallway, and I'm staring at the elevator cables that are going back and forth. And then I look to my left, and there's a couple, a fairly good-looking guy with an absolute spokesmodel girlfriend, and they're looking at the same thing, and she looks over at me and gives me the once-over, and I'm like, wow, that is really... And I realize when I say wow, I'm half naked.
Oh.
And that's when I decided to go back and get my shirt on and take the fire escape down to the bottom floor, and I spent about probably a half an hour just chilling out and you know, looking at the aftershocks in the lobby, and it was freaky. It really was.
I laid in bed for a second after the pictures fell off the wall, and really for a minute thought, you know what? I really have had too much to drink tonight.
Yeah,
I really did.
You know, when at that time of the morning, you're just not sure, even if you've been, especially if you've had something to drink.
So I got up, and I opened up the window. You know, I opened up the curtains, and I looked outside, and I
opened
saw...
up the window and said,
I looked outside, and I saw the building across the street actually doing one of these.
Right.
Like barely moving. Mm-hmm. And again... I don't know if this is the fact that I've had about eight glasses of wine.
And you had just gotten to sleep, you said, right?
And it's at that point that they came on the intercom on the telephone in the hotel room, and they said, attention, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
Right.
That's all. They didn't say, evacuate, come downstairs. They just got and said, hey, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
We're having an earthquake, a tropical earthquake.
And it never occurred to me to leave the room.
Right.
Never occurred to me to go down to the basement, to go to the stairwell as you did.
Sure, sure.
I just went back to sleep.
Well, that's because you've been out all night.
Yeah, because I was drunk.
It's one of those, you know, I was, it really just took me a while. And you guys, you and Charlie didn't come down to the lobby, right?
No, I stayed in bed. I heard like a little clattering. And I looked over,
What floor were you on, right?
I was on the sixth.
Okay,
way
you were
up
on
the
floor
top
above
floor.
Me. Right.
And I looked over and the hangers in my closet are just jumping around. I said, that's sort of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I go to sit up and everything starts going crazy. And in the true lazy man, I called the lobby. And he answers, and I say, and it sounded real funny. In retrospect, I said, hi, I'm up on the sixth floor, and we're having an earthquake. Like, that's not going on in the lobby, but there's an earthquake on the sixth floor. And he said, yes, we are. And I said, should I stand in a doorway or something? Because that's what they always say, stand in a doorway. He said,
I talked to a guy who was outside the lobby when I went around. I actually got down to the bottom floor, and the sign said, you know, open in case of emergency. I'm like, earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing goes, and I just walk around the front of the hotel, and I meet two people, another couple that's outside, and I said, man, I tell you, this is kind of weird. And the guy said, well, I'm from California, and you're probably doing the thing you should be doing right now, getting out of the building.
Right,
you know?
Well,
I mean, really, because that's, I mean, if there really is a catastrophic earthquake.
I had not a thought.
You were bombed. That's why you had not a thought.
I just went back to bed.
Well, I was stone cold sober, and I basically just pulled the blankets over my head. And
right.
By the guy in the lobby said there was nothing to worry about.
Well, if it had been centered in Los Angeles, the difference would have been you would have been in bed, like, between eight floors of concrete pancake.
You were on the fifth floor, I would have been in your bed.
Yeah, that's
right.
Because if it really had been, you know, they said if it had been centered in Los Angeles,
it would have been the worst earthquake of all time.
And I don't, you know, and if something was going to happen, I don't think you have time to process it. You're just,
right.
I mean, if a building's going down, it's going to go down probably pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And it really wasn't, what I said to people, it wasn't violent. What I found it to be, my bed was just kind of being, it was like somebody was rocking it.
You know,
it was rocking. That's what I thought it was.
I called Frida immediately. Not a good move.
Yeah, I did too. I called my wife also at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I called my wife. I'm still a little drunk.
Right.
I just gotten in. I called her and said, honey, you're not going to believe this. And she said the way I described it to her was, I said, it felt like someone put a quarter in the magic fingers machine.
That's exactly what that is.
Right.
That's the best description of the bed that I was trying. You know, I was trying to communicate that to people, and that's what it was. It was the rocking of the bed.
I just called her. I said, honey, I've had the most amazing night. I kind of screamed at Barry White's wife, and I went to a recording studio, and then I went to a strip bar with Kevin, and now, honey, there's an earthquake going on. My wife said, what time is it? It's 2:45.
Right.
She says, where are you? I said, I'm in the hotel. We're having an earthquake.
Amazing.
And she said, well, you probably shouldn't be on the phone with me if you're having the earthquake.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, I think that she thought that I had had a little too much vino.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was, you know, the only thing that saved that from being a real catastrophe was the fact that it was so far out. I mean, I'm not telling anything people anything they don't already know. It was way out, but I mean, so significant as to knock a train off its tracks out in the and you got to realize how powerful something has to be. And then did you see in the news yesterday that now they've discovered a new fault that they thought was inactive?
Right. Yeah.
And they were first saying that this was an aftershock from the 1992 quake, but no, this was its own little deal.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We cheated death.
You know?
We cheated Mr. Death.
Absolutely.
And we won.
It was you know what you can say is you were in a legitimate 7.0 earthquake. Now, regardless of where the thing was centered, it happened.
Hey, it made the pictures come off the walls.
I've been out there for a couple of... I think we've probably both been out there one time or another where we've got a little, maybe an aftershock or something, a little movement.
But yeah, but nothing like this.
This was really a sustained, about, at least when I woke up, it was a good 45 seconds of rocking and rolling before I went downstairs.
And when it made the pictures fall off the wall in my room, those are pictures that are bolted to the wall.
Right.
And who would want to steal those ugly pictures? I don't know, because they're like dogs playing poker and stuff.
Truly amazing. And you saw the different, highways with splits in it. And it was something, but it's something at least when... To be frightened, you're not frightened when you first realize it. The fear, at least for me, well, I got freaked out after the fact.
Sure.
Because I was like, well, is this is this leading up to the big one? Because you always hear about earthquakes
you were a little flipped out of the airport on Saturday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit.
Yeah, I was still flipped out from that. And the cab driver on the way to the airport said it was unusually crowded. Even for LAX, for Los Angeles International Airport, because there were so many people that were just picking up and leaving early from their vacations and changing their flight schedules, and he said that's why the airport was more crowded than normal. A lot of people, they told me at the desk of the hotel, in our hotel, I went back up, I don't know how I got back to sleep, but I went up for a couple more hours, got a couple more hours of sleep. They said 40 people checked out of our hotel. Like in the wee hours, like 3 o'clock, 4
where
o'clock.
Where would you go,
morning.
Though? I mean, if you're staying in a hotel...
I have no
where
idea.
Where would you go? To another hotel?
Either maybe there were business travelers, just driving home or something
they
like that.
They did call, after I had gotten back to sleep, I was on the 17th floor.
Mm-hmm.
They did call to ask me if I wanted to change my room.
Right.
Hmm. And at that point, I was so tired. Hello? I said, yes. Would you like to change your room? I said, no, I'm trying to sleep.
Where do you go? I mean, do you go to the bottom floor or do you go to the top floor? Which is better, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather go to the top floor.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kind of weird.
I didn't have time to noodle that through, but when I was checking out the next morning, I said to the guy, I said, why did you guys call me again at 3:30? Is it because everybody that was on one of the very high floors, we want to give them the opportunity to move to a lower floor?
They seem to have more protocol in your hotel, believe it or not, than ours. Because ours, they just seem like everybody, even at the desk, the security guards that were down there, everybody kind of in a state of confusion. Nobody really... Isn't that true?
The guy, it was like 3 hours when Charlie and I finally checked out. I didn't sleep much after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the guy, very friendly guy at the front desk.
Right,
but
clueless.
Yeah, I said, wow, is that typical? I don't know. That was my first one, too. Kind of wild, wasn't it?
Wild.
I think they're supposed to do all that stuff they did for you. They're supposed to alert everybody hey, get out of the building. And you're also supposed to be, if they have the floors, probably ask that question. But with us, it's like, you want another cookie?
Exactly. But they are great cookies.
They are good cookies.
Mike, let's talk to Adam, one of the people who actually flew out to California just to join us at the taping of King of Queens.
Very, very good.
I think we may have interviewed this lad on our show, as a matter of fact. Hello, Adam.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Is this Adam from Rockville?
Yeah.
Is it Adam from Rockville?
That's me. How you doing?
Okay.
Did you really go out there just to see us on that show?
I was out there. I had a business trip that had been scheduled in advance, but they canceled it the week that I was supposed to go, but since I was already planning to go out there and go to the show, I went anyway.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
Oh, I love you guys. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you guys. Check it out. I was staying in Pasadena, which was about 130 miles southwest And it was
Hey, check it out, Mike.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
Yes,
check
go
it out.
Go ahead, Adam.
And I wanted to tell you, first of all, how fantastic it was to be on the set when you guys taped. I mean, there was definitely a lot of exposure with you guys in that first scene.
I'm telling you, in the scene in the bar,
yeah,
Mike and I are going to be on TV for 2 or 3 minutes.
We get serious camera time on
cool.
that. Adam, you were a witness. You were watching the monitors. Are we right about that?
Yeah, because what happened was that most of the dialogue took place right next to you guys, and so we saw your profiles, you know, pretty much the whole scene. And every time they cut to the guy that was giving Spence a hard time, I forgot the character's name, but the Italian guy?
Larry Romano.
Larry, right.
Yeah, when he stood up and they cut to him, I mean, it was right there. You know, Mike, I think Mike was on the left and Don was on the right. And you guys got a lot of exposure in that scene.
I know a lot of people, we're going to talk obviously more about this when the episode actually airs.
Sure.
I know people are going to be wondering what we talked about.
Oh, God. We're such goofs. We really are the biggest goofballs in the world. I mean, it's really silly.
We could not simply mouth fake words to each other.
Right.
We were actually whispering at each other.
You cracked me up. At one point, I don't know what they do, 4 or 5 takes of the first scene.
Five takes.
And I'm looking at Don. And Don's starting to lose it, and I'm like, "What?" And he's losing it in such a way. I know you well enough. When you're losing it like that, it's because something's wrong with me. And then I didn't. But he can't tell me. But he's trying to lip sync and go, "You have a crumb in your mustache.
You have a giant piece of food hanging from
you
your mustache.
You have a piece of onion ring hanging from your mustache." And then I just started. Then after that, when you told me, and they did another take after that, I was cracking up. And we held it together. I
yes.
thought, you know, we were smirking. I can't wait to see it because. We're not actors. We really are.
You know, we did get some good advice from Leah, though, before the show, because she said, what do you guys, when you have your fake conversation, what are you going to talk about? I said,
right.
We're probably going to talk about anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to say the F word to each other. She said, whatever you do, don't do that, because
right.
they have people who actually sit
right.
and monitor to see if you could see, like, nasty
sure.
words being said. She said, if you guys say the F word and someone picks it up, even though you're not saying it,
right.
you're going to be cut out of the scene.
Wow.
So our conversation was pretty G-rated.
Now, did we mention on the tape show from Friday about the onion rings? Did we mention that?
I think we mentioned it. Yeah,
I'm still grossed out. No ill effects, though.
Really. I think she was lying. They tasted
yeah.
like normal onion rings to me.
She might have been just dumb.
Well, it looked like you guys were actually dumb. Having a real conversation, because as you said, they taped that scene over and over again. And I was watching you, and it looked like you were having a genuine conversation.
Of course it did. Mike and I are both giving each other thumbs up right now, like, hey, well, that's because we're actors.
And one last thing. I wanted to thank you guys for signing my script. It was great seeing you guys out there and getting y'all. It was neat that they introduced you at the end as well. That was fantastic.
You know, I don't know. How do guys in the audience end up getting scripts? We must have had 4 or 5 people.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that had scripts there. I would have loved to grab one.
Come up and say, you autograph the scripts.
At least when my wife went, it was done as like a raffle. Like there was a prize for either questions or...
Well, I can tell you how I got mine. There was a guy with a microphone who was keeping the crowd fired up between sets, between scenes.
Right.
And what he did was he recruited one person from each side of the audience to sort of help him out between scenes, like throwing out chocolate kisses and getting people to sing and stuff like that.
That's the most retarded job, incidentally. Mike and I were going crazy because I kept playing YMCA over again.
That's a job I wouldn't want. That's a tough comedy job for that guy to keep the audience warm.
So I guess Adam was one of the chocolate kiss throwers.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, here's someone else who came to see us at that show. Here's Tim, who drove all the way from Bakersfield.
Excellent.
CA to Los Angeles. Hello, Tim.
Radio gods.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Are you the guy that said to me, what, no FNZD now?
That's me, Mike.
You know, man, you really stopped me there. I heard that. That was good. That, you know, certain people can say things and you immediately know that they're, you know, they listen to the show. That was fantastic.
Well, I was trying to think of something that I knew would be kind of inside, but I didn't just want to go, hey, Mike, I'm a big fan. I drove all the way down from Bakersfield. I'm a stalker. You know, I wanted to say something that would let you know, hey, I'm here for you guys.
It was perfect. Absolutely flawless.
That's great.
That was a great show, too. I can't wait to see the episode.
Yeah, Ellen, a good time. I mean, talk about they're going to have a sweeps week, the Monday of the Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, we lucked into that. You know, that was just luck. I mean, it wasn't like they planned it that way. That just happens to be the week they came back and the week we could go out there.
And also, starting on that episode, for the rest of the season, our picture is prominently displayed on the left upper hand of the refrigerator.
You were
right
so
on.
Funny when you went in there and they'd set one scene for the Thanksgiving Day segment.
Right.
And you got mad.
when you saw the decorations they had, you said, oh, my God. Well, that was just for the Thanksgiving.
I know. Our picture on the piano had been taken down, and they put, like, up one of those paper mache turkeys.
Right, right.
I said to Mike, this is not on the radio, I said, oh, those bastards, look at that. I said, we are out here for one day. They took our picture down. And he said, no, it's for Thanksgiving. It's a special episode.
It's a specially decorated scene, and we'll be right back up there.
I was almost afraid that they weren't going to let us in because we got there late. The traffic on the 405 was an absolute parking lot coming in, and we got there late, but luckily we wound up with some TV Guide contest winners and just kind of followed them in like we owned the place, you know, and they let us in and let us watch that little monitor first over there by the food area, and then they found some, we actually were sitting on the steps. I was sitting on the steps of the bleachers through most of the taping, and unfortunately we had to cut out of there early, but as I was leaving, they were between takes, and the guy on the mic was doing his thing, and as I was walking by, I said, hey, Don and Mike kick ass, and about five or six people in the audience went, yeah. So there were quite a few people there that knew you guys.
Hey, and Tim, of course, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about somebody else. Mm-hmm. Generally, didn't you think the audience filled it like retarded people?
There was a guy actually falling asleep behind my wife.
There, when we were listening to them, thank you for the call, Tim.
You bet.
We were listening to them warm up the audience.
Right.
And we were amazed that, you know, this phony, oh, I got it right here. This laugh right here.
You always think that's canned laughter.
That's real stuff.
Right.
And the guy that was on stage
right.
was not doing anything funny.
No.
Because these people, all of these mental patients and senior citizens who come to these TV shows, because they're in a TV studio,
right.
They all laugh just like that.
I mean, all the guy has to say is, greetings, how is everybody tonight? Fantastic.
And speaking of mental patients, did you notice that when they were in scenes that were seriously like 6 yards in front of the audience,
right.
they're all watching the television monitors.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the monitors are right there, but they're like 6 feet away and they're just watching the monitors like a bunch of idiots.
Oh, yeah. Rob and I were really goofing on people. Because at one point I was sitting with Rob watching the taping of the show. And we both said, look at Kevin James is standing 3 feet away from this guy, yet this guy is craning his neck.
Right.
To look up at a monitor yeah. when he can look 3 feet in front of him and see the real guy.
I don't know whether they tell him to do that or what, but it's strange. It's tough to figure out what to look at because there's so many different monitors. There's so many different looks when you're down on the floor. But you're right. Everybody in the studio audience is yeah. like, oh, the TV. Go all that way to watch TV.
Oh, and one last note. When Robbie got back yesterday, he had a voicemail from Larry Romano.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. Wants to know if we want to play his record on the radio.
Oh, my.
What did he about his Yankee song? What was his voicemail?
It was like, it was either the Yankee song or the King of Queens tribute song that he had done. But it's going through the voicemail. It's a new voicemail system here, so it's always an adventure when you go into it.
Right.
And yo, Rob, this is Larry Romano, you know, Richie from the King of Queens. Hope you all got back all right. And he went on and on. He said, by the way, if you want to listen to that CD, that'd be great. Make sure you mention LarryRomano.com. So there you go. Everyone check out LarryRomano.com.
Well, there, he got his wish.
Yes. There's his plug. Okay, listen, we have to do a break.
This is the Don and Mike.
Oh, now, honey, meat is nothing to be afraid of.
Kind of like a 5-foot fecal coil of comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
Do you think it will ever be that we work at a radio station that is not so friggin' cheap that we could have more than one microphone for the guests to share?
This is can truly... we write the management or call the net, email the management?
You know, we only really, we talk about how bad this place is, but we only become really aware of how bad it is when we actually get people coming in to visit, and then we just, I mean, look at this place. This is this one
beautiful.
Of the crappy...
Very no, cuddly. That doesn't actually, help us. I can put my head on Johnny's shoulders, and I think it's very kind of cuddly.
Oh, no, that's cookie because you were like almost related on TV,
well,
you know.
This is ancestral, but hey, that's fantastic.
Hey, we're no related. We are born on the same day.
Were you really?
December the 13th, versus the 6th.
You know, you both look exactly the same as you did on Family Affair. I mean, you're grown up, but you really do.
You should see the picture that we hang in the closet. Dorian Whittaker and Dorian Garber.
I mean, really, it's just that, you know, you do look the same, and I guess you get that all the time.
Johnny Whittaker and Kathy Carver, they of course, run Family Affair. It's Jody and Sissy.
Jody and Sissy are here.
Uncle Bill! Uncle Bill!
Uncle Bill!
Deal.
Well, Kathy, I'm sure you get this from a lot of guys. When I was a kid and I was watching you.
Yes.
You were H.O.T. on that show.
Oh, I think I
you
still
are.
Am.
Yeah. No. Not saying you're not hot now. I'm just saying when I used to watch that show as a kid, you know, to watch Sissy would always be one of the highlights.
She was the only one with boobs.
Right. Absolutely.
We can say that word, can't we?
Yeah, sure.
And short skirts. I mean, that was
very
the day
short
of the
very short skirts.
Mini skirts. And
you know, you guys seem like you're close. I could just, I mean, just in the first
well, we're in your
seconds.
Studio. There's no
we got to be close, honey.
You seem like you get along. You really do. I mean, you can tell by, you know, when people come here. You guys get along real well?
Sure.
Yeah, we do.
Did you get along when the show was being done way back when?
Fought every single day.
Did you really?
Yes, no. Brothers
no,
and
no,
sisters
no.
would.
Well, see, Kathy was a little older than we are, or and mm-hmm. so, you know, she would hang out with us every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I would condescend.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, Anissa and I kind of had our spot, and the adults kind of had their spot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she would come. Whenever we did cool things, like my dad was a woodworker and all of that, we would have woodworking during the summer. Then Kathy would make sure everybody on the set wanted to do some woodworking and leatherworking.
Right.
And
one time we made a pomodoro out of an orange. And the way you do that is to take an orange. This is a Martha Stewart segment
That's
of your
right.
show, Mike and Don. And you stick cloves in every single little orifice of the orange, and then you have a sweet-smelling thing to put in your closet or in your drawer.
Oh, my God.
These are handy hints.
The whole time you were on Family Affair, were you a virgin the whole time you were on that show?
Yes.
You were.
And that's the first time anyone, A, has ever asked that, mm-hmm. and B, that I have ever admitted that.
I applaud your honesty.
So you were not deflowered the whole time that you were on the show?
No, I was a sweet and wholesome young thing.
She still is.
Johnny, with an 8-year-old child, I don't know.
Johnny, I have a question for you also.
Sure.
Mr. French ever come on to you?
No. Sebastian had always been very cool.
We do a running joke that we've done really for, this show's been on the air 15 years. We've done this for almost 15 years. But we do, Buffy, Jody, it's time for your 34th bath today.
Uncle Bill.
It was a very clean show.
We have to be honest, tell you the material we've done for years on this
show.
Cool.
I mean, 15 years you've been making fun of us. Well,
yeah,
hey, and now you can do it in front of us.
Because really, Family Affair was one of those shows that everybody goddamn watched when we were growing up. Everybody did. And now, I see it's still on now on TV Land.
And
right?
Johnny and I are working on the movie of it.
Yes.
I did not know they were making a Family Affair
movie.
Yes.
Wait, what role? Obviously, you're not going to be playing the
kids. We're working behind the scenes.
I have a deal with Warner Brothers to be the associate producer. Warner Brothers is going to be our distributor. Marty Croft is the producer. And John Hughes, that did Sweet 16. And Howie Deutsch is the director. And we've just lost our writer. So, if anyone has a great idea or wonderful, fabulous writing capabilities,
we could probably knock something out for you right now.
Yes, I'm sure you could knock it out.
Hey, you're a firecracker.
I'm hot, remember?
You are very hot. Mm-hmm. Would you stand up for a minute? Can I take a look at you?
Yeah, this is too small.
Come on, please. Just stand up for a second. Let me just
see. Still up. Oh, my God. You know,
still works.
Hot.
Well, you know,
still works.
Wow. God was good to you.
Yeah, look at you.
But you know, we are in Gaithersburg here.
Oh, I'll give you your plug.
To do a show.
Yeah. Listen, Gaithersburg Antique and Collectible Show tomorrow and Sunday.
Right.
Both days, you kids will be out there. Now, what do you do when you go to these shows?
Sign autograph pictures and say hi to fans and friends. And it's a collectible show. We're not antiques.
We are collectible.
You know, at the end of the day. And please answer this honestly, because I know there's it's before the show, but at the end of the day, when you get the 500th person saying you were so cute, you're so cute and so adorable, do you get tired of the same old question?
Shut up!
There you go.
Get the hell out of here.
Very nice.
No, personally, I start believing it. I said thank you very much.
So you dig it? And you can handle it, or if you can't, you fake it.
We do a lot of I've done a lot of shows. I meet really good people and that have gone and grown to things like. I have this wonderful person that is made my website, KathyGarber.com.
Hey, Robbie, pull that up
for
me. No, that was a plug. Pull that up for me on the web right now, will you, Robbie?
Oh,
and I met her at one of these shows, and I met another fellow that was an animator. Because of that, I did 6 episodes of Spider-Man, His Amazing Friends. So you do meet interesting people.
Oh, it's really
cool. I really do like it. And there'll be some other people there. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, here you go.
Sunny Squire.
Right.
And who was Enos. on...
Well, he pales in comparison to you guys.
And Lonnie Burr from the Mouseketeers and Mickey Mouse Show. Yeah. He's a local.
Is that it?
I know there's one more.
Some loser from
Conrad Brooks.
Plan 9
from Outer Space.
Okay, you guys are the headliners.
Yeah, so you're the big guy.
You guys are the big star.
We're the headliners.
We're the headliners.
You are.
I mean, you know, everything's got a pecking order, and on that thing, you guys are the headliners.
Now, Johnny,
of course you are.
Didn't I see you on TV all the time recently about this Dana Plato thing that you were actually...
Dana's manager.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the last 6 months of Dana's life, I was helping her get her career jump-started in a very positive way. She'd done some off-color and not as, you know, positive things, and there was a couple of roles. Actually, there was a role that I submitted her for, which was for this new, ER guy that's just coming out now.
George Clooney?
Yeah, in his...
The Three Kings movie?
She was going to play one of the roles in that.
Oh, really?
And then it just didn't work out for her to do that. But we had her to do a play this summer called The Hyams Love Song. And she was real excited about that. And for whatever reason, she decided that she needed to get some money from the other side of the show business and was going to do a show out in Chicago. And she was publicizing on Mr. Howard Stern's show and came back to Moore, Oklahoma right after the tornadoes and died in her sleep after taking some pills. And
did you have any inkling that she was close to that? I mean, being her manager?
I myself am in recovery, and I knew that she had problems, and I told her that she had to call me every day.
Mm-hmm. And did she?
No.
So you kind of... That would give you an inkling.
Oh, definitely. And I tried to help her as much as she wanted to be helped. And she was a great girl. She's a wonderful, tons of personality, tons of spirit, and a great, great actress.
Why do so many people that are child stars get so screwed up all the time? I mean, it just seems like it happens again and again and again.
Were you screwed up, Kathy?
No.
I didn't think so. She's just too damn perky.
Yes. No, I mean, I think the main thing is that, you know, you have a great deal of notoriety, a great deal of public awareness and kudos given to you all the time. And, hey, it's going to end sometime, and you have to deal with the non-celebrity situation.
And most children are not given the tools to deal with that. Everything is taken care of for them.
Do you think there's some point, though, where you have to be so good all the time, so squeaky clean all the time, that it just kind of blows out in another direction as soon as the show is over?
Well, that was the way it was with me, but I was lucky enough to do all my little things kind of unknowingly and clandestinely, basically.
Right.
And then my family kicked my butt and said, you know, do it or else.
You get a lot of girls because you were in Family Affair?
Actually, no.
I mean, when you grew up. Obviously
no,
not when you were on the show.
I was actually a Mormon missionary for 2 years.
Yeah, when he was on the show, that would have been... We would have had to report that to the authorities.
11-year-old.
So you're a Mormon now?
Yes.
You're a Mormon missionary?
I was a Mormon missionary.
You were? Okay.
Yes.
Boy, God, you've done a lot of stuff. Weren't you into computers or something like that?
Yeah.
I saw that on TV.
I still do a lot of computer work.
Really?
But now I'm into managing, and I managed... You know, have you ever heard of the little kid, T-Rex Butte, who sang at the Dodger Stadium and was on the Jay Leno show?
Oh, yeah, I saw her on Jay Leno show, right.
Yeah.
You manage her?
Boy, yeah, he's my kid.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know him very well, don't you? Yeah. Don't you know her very well, him?
He sang the national anthem.
You know, I'm getting that confused up with... Robbie, who's that little kid that sings opera?
Charlotte Church.
Right.
Oh, she's very talented, too. So you're getting back into show business.
Yes.
Any particular reason why, after such a long absence, why you're getting back into the business that might have affected you in a negative way?
Well, I believe anything that I did was my own making, you know? I mean, the business definitely was a kick in the pants and helped me to get to certain points, but, you know, my substance and alcoholism has everything to do with me and not everybody else.
You weren't drinking when you were on the show.
No.
How about Uncle Bill?
Just so
Johnny, come clean. You just tell them how you and Mr. French would go behind there, you know, and drink that vodka.
Okay,
so it wouldn't, you know.
What about Uncle Bill, really? He had to be hammered for most of those shows, right?
Right? Well, he wasn't to me. All he did was throw me up on his shoulders and give me piggyback rides onto the set.
You can't have that style on camera without probably being half looped, I would think.
Kathy? Kathy, let's talk about you.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Now, I just pulled up your website, and it's some broad from Charlotte.
It says, welcome to my home on the web. I'm a Charlotte native. It's a real estate lady.
No, it's just Garver.
Garver.
Robbie, it's Garver.
Sorry,
Rob. That would be the third time. I'd like to apologize for that.
Thank you very much. I see why you work in tandem.
Kathy Garver. Kathy Garver.
With a G.
Yes.
So, are you married?
Yes, I am.
First time, second time, third time?
First time.
First time,
18 years. I have the most beautiful child. He's 8 years old. Johnny's going to handle him.
Yes.
In Los Angeles. He's already done a national commercial that is paying for his first year at Stanford.
You are not worried about that? About your kid getting in the showbiz?
Oh, you know what? I don't push him at all. And we live in Northern California. We live in San Francisco. If there's something cool, I let him do it. But, I mean, he plays soccer and basketball and gets A's, and he's very well-rounded. And if something's there for him, that's cool.
You don't want him to be the next Cody Gifford, though, right?
No.
Okay, here's your website.
It's my website.
Oh, look at
Isn't
that.
Cool. Sweet?
Robbie, scroll down a little
perky.
Bit.
It's so perky.
Although
it's
best
so
known
nice.
For co-starring on Family Affair. Oh, yeah, look at how hot you were on that show.
Yes, you were hot.
No, that's now.
Well, that's a, look at that.
That's a couple
that's
years ago.
Oh, Jesus. I used to watch that show. You don't want to know what I used to do when I used to watch that show.
No,
when I was a,
probably not.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Firestar, that's the animated series. Are you scrolling through this?
Robbie, that's click cool. on Family Affair.
I should
oh, no, no, click on merchandise. I want to see what she's selling.
Pictures, but you can buy them in person in Gaithersburg this weekend, and you don't...
I will give you a plug. Settle down on that.
But you don't have to go on to the web. You can just...
Autograph professional. Let me see how much...
Montgomery County Fairgrounds.
Let me see how much Kathy charges for a photo. Scroll down, Robbie. Hold on a second.
It is so cheap. I mean...
$10?
Plus $3 for postage and handling.
Oh, what a scam.
No, me,
scroll down.
Right.
Keep scrolling down.
I'm not going to be around that much longer. I mean, if you want the real me with the real...
You're not going to be around. Yeah, you're 80 years old. Yeah, you'll be dying soon.
Call
right?
me Gloria
hey, we don't get residuals, you know?
Come
you
on.
Don't. You, that's right, you don't.
$10 a photo. You sell lots of those?
You bet I do.
Do you really?
But you can get them for free at Gaithersburg.
Okay.
I mean, for $10 at Gaithersburg.
Okay. Tomorrow...
Shipping and handling.
Tomorrow and Sunday, these two kids will be at Gaithersburg Antique and Collectible Show. 10 to 5 Saturday.
Child stars have to make a living too, ladies.
That's
you
right.
Bet.
And 10 to 4 on Sunday.
Well, you guys seem real perky and real happy and real well adjusted. You really do.
Today.
That's all a lie, isn't it?
Yeah. We've been in show business all our lives. That's the only way we know.
Kathy gave me kind of a look, even with all that perky smile, said, if you only knew.
Really? Really? Well, it was a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. Johnny, nice to meet you,
Good
sir.
Good to meet you.
Kathy, you're still hot.
Thank you.
Still hot.
Mike.
Good luck
thank
in Gaithersburg. Hope everybody comes out to see you. Hope
thank
you have a good time.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey,
Joe
Baker's Field High.
Oh, we will.
Say hi yourself. Hi, Bakersfield.
Hi, Bakersfield.
All right, goodbye, you guys.
Johnny Whitaker and Kathy Garver.
That's with a G.
With a G.
Thanks, guys. You don't sell any nude photos on the web, do you?
Yeah, but you have to go click into the special thing. You have to pay
$18
to register.
I paid $18 to make a picture of you.
$18 to register.
Absolutely, I would.
What's that?
They do say new photo, and I have gone down there, but you have to click in to register. I said, well, I'm not paying $18 to see myself.
Is it a real nude photo of you?
I don't know. I haven't paid $18.
Oh, wow. We'll pay the $18.
On your web page?
Not on mine.
Oh, you mean on another web page?
Another web.
Tell me what that web address is.
It's those actresses, and then you push on it, and then they give a list.
Did you ever pose for a nude photo?
Not that I remember.
Hey, that's leaving the door open.
Got all these ways to put the heads on other boobs.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Better be a good body.
Johnny, you never did any nude photos that we could buy, did you?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, get out of here.
Get out of here, kids.
Adios. Bye-bye. Adios.
Nice.
See you.
Nice meeting you.
Tomorrow.
Bye, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right.
Now.
There you go.
A little Letterman on her. Kiss her hand. Yeah.
There they go. Buffy. No, Joey.
No, Buffy's the dead one.
Yeah, Sissy, Jody.
Jody and Sissy.
Zippy, you know, all the...
Oh, yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Zippy's great peripheral vision, huh, Sam?
Well, you know, that's what Don meant when he said he's a head job in the first part of the show.
No, he's a head case.
A head case.
No, that's not what
head,
I meant.
A head case.
It's where opinions are like cowboy hats. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, here's the tape of Arnold with the director.
This is great. This is the director totally patronizing Arnold.
This is where the director says, you did a really great job on this scene. However,
we want you to do it again.
You do
just
it
a
again.
Roundabout way telling Arnold he screwed up the first take.
Here we go.
I thought those looks were just great. Oh, yeah. When you look back at the people, a little embarrassed. What's so funny? All that was beautiful. But we're going to do that again. Okay? That's the beauty of this process.
He's talking about like he's a five-year-old.
I know. We're going to do that again. Not because you did anything wrong, but you're just a moron.
That's the beauty of this process.
I am the guy. Yes, the Arnold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know why that was funny? Because I'm in the scene.
Okay, we got one more Arnold tape. You want to hear Arnold explain what funny is to a bunch of kids working with him?
Yeah, this is when he's just super ego Arnold.
Here we go.
Let me explain to you. When you see someone laughing and you don't know why that is, it's very simple. Because I'm in a shot. There has to be no other reason. Okay? So can you get your acting together now? And laugh with us? Because it's a very funny scene.
He's got away with kids, doesn't he?
Oh, God. Can you imagine that, really? I mean, you have to sit around. He's like superstar. It's a very funny scene.
You know, I know some of you probably wonder, maybe it was that movie that put my wife in this funk, this downward spiral that she's in right now. But
bad movie does nothing to take anybody out of a funk.
Right? She was in that funk before we went to see my son sing, before we went to the movie.
Oh, okay.
And then coming out of the movie.
But maybe if it had been a good movie, she would have come out of the funk.
Maybe it would have. I don't know. Saturday night, she roped me into watching You've Got Mail. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, don't care to either.
Maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. And I'll give my wife credit. She didn't like it.
Right.
We were just at home on Saturday night, and she said, you want to see the worst movie ever?
Oh, really? She knew it was the worst movie ever.
And I said, yeah. So I said that, and we watched this movie with Tom Hanks. First off, this movie, and I know the movie made over $100 million.
Yes.
And I know it was a gigantic hit. However, I'm telling you, anybody that liked that movie is a friggin' idiot. That, you know the plot already, of course, that Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, they know each other, mm-hmm. they hate each other, but they have this secret love on the internet where they write each other notes. This movie started at 8 o'clock on HBO on Saturday night, and they drug it out until 9:57. The movie goes for almost two full hours before they finally figure out that he's the guy online and she's the guy online.
Oh,
I mean, with every possible bump in the road that you can have, it was so bad. We were watching this movie just saying, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Give me another glass of wine.
You know, they always talk about the actors and the choices they make, and it would seem to me that that was naked greed that, you know, led both of them. And, you know, if you cut Meg Ryan a little slack there, but Tom Hanks, you know, he's got more money than Jesus, and he's, you know, it just seems to me that's just a crappy story.
They showed that making of thing afterwards during the trailer. Have you noticed they do that on HBO a lot now, that during the trailer?
I used to like them. I hate them now. I hate watching those things.
They have half the screen that has the all the people that worked on the movie. On the other half of the screen, they show like how they did the movie and stuff.
Right.
And they had Tom Hanks being interviewed, and he's saying, well, I've worked with Nora. I think her name is Ephraim, as a matter of fact, like our agent.
Nora Ephron.
Ephron, right.
Right.
I worked with Nora on Sleepless in Seattle, and as soon as I knew she was involved in the project, I knew I had to do it. I just knew I did.
And they were going to pay me this, which is the real truth, but I wouldn't sound good if I said that.
But, I mean, the movie, I know it's a year old, and I know I'm a year late to the party on this, but this movie, You've Got Mail, it's so poorly constructed, so poorly directed, so poorly written, so poorly acted, that, I mean, you know, as they get to know each other, as they're typing on the computer, you know, there's a big bookstore coming into town to take my place, what should I do? Be strong, go to the mattresses, because that's something from The Godfather, which apparently all guys say in this movie.
Right.
As they're having these conversations on the net, in real life, they see each other and they don't like each other.
Yeah.
So, like, there's shots of them, you know, walking down the street on opposite sides where they see each other and, then meanwhile, next shot, they're in their apartments. And
they're talking about how much they love one another and how they have so much in common. Boy, it's so clever.
Yeah.
Piece of garbage. Really.
Maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
Wow. Made a lot of money, didn't it?
$120 million.
I won what?
$120 million. Hello?
Did I win money?
No, you did not win money.
Can I talk to Don, Mike?
Yes, you're talking to us. Hello.
Hi.
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 How are you?
Great, thank you.
Fine, you sound like you're down.
What?
You sound like you're down, but then again, I just changed my mind. You don't sound like you're down. You are down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? You're not married to me.
I'm what?
What can we do for you?
I'm just having a lot of problems right now.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that you have trouble listening?
What?
Apparently so.
That's what OJ said.
What did OJ do?
Are you having
wouldn't listen.
Are you having trouble hearing us?
But, yeah, a little bit. My phone's messed up.
Your friend?
What's wrong, honey?
I'm having a very bad day.
Right. Why?
Because my friend got in a car accident with my daughter and I'm upset about that, and I got to go to work.
Is your daughter all right?
I'm not sure yet. I'm waiting for her to get back. I'm over her house right now. So I decided to call you guys.
What?
Okay. Here's what I'll get. If your daughter was in a car accident and you didn't know her whereabouts or her condition, why would you...
She said she's all right. She said it was just a little bump, but I'm still upset.
But nothing serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so why'd you call us?
My friends want me to get naked for you guys.
Well, it's obvious you're all broke up about your daughter being in that car accident.
Yeah, I think we're going to pass on that.
You're going to pass on
what? On you getting naked.
Why?
Well, I don't know, honey. I'm sure you're beautiful.
I'm going to tonight.
You're going to what? Get naked?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get naked at?
At Dreamers.
What's that?
It's a strip bar.
Your job?
Yep.
You're a stripper?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How do you like that work?
It's all right. Good money.
Mm-hmm.
I get drunk and dance.
You do.
Shocker.
Yeah, real surprise.
Paid for that. You know, that's the advice I'll give my wife, because my wife was depressed last night also.
Get drunk and dance?
Get drunk and dance, yeah. Go to Dreamers.
It helps.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know something?
What?
That's the first call I've ever had that actually makes me think twice about going to a strip joint. I swear
you'll get
to
past that, Mike.
I know I'll get over it. But man, that was just that. Like, yeah. That, oh, man.
Like you don't know they're all like that, really?
I know.
Hello. God.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Jenna and Shiloh notwithstanding.
That's right. Of course. Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys should play that tape, the one that says, we're here, we're queer, and we're not going skiing. I'm calling from a restaurant in Manassas.
Yes.
And the whole kitchen just really needs to hear that tape. It's the funniest thing ever.
What's the restaurant? Give yourselves a plug.
Heroes American Restaurant in Manassas, Virginia, baby.
Well, you got a lot of homos working there?
Well, actually, we do downstairs in the kitchen. On the floor.
On the floor, but everybody in the kitchen is straight?
Everyone in the kitchen is straight as an arrow.
Right. Couldn't eat food that was cooked by homos. I think you know that. Couldn't.
Yeah, but how would you know, really?
By the taste.
Much saltier than I remember.
Boy, look, there's a hair right here in the middle of my tape. Robbie, you got that tape?
Excuse me?
I was speaking to Rob Spiewak, associate producer, who's now searching for your tape.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
What is the specialty of the house at your restaurant? What's good?
What's good? The apple crisp is what I'm making right now, and the clam chowder is the best.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
Okay, you guys have a good night.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. The clam chowder. Nothing like a little clam chowder and apple crisp to get that colon working overtime.
Because generally, that's what Americans want in a restaurant.
That's right.
We don't care
yep.
if it's a homosexual man or woman bringing us our food.
Not at all.
But they better not be making our food. Absolutely not.
Unless, of course, it's clam chowder and apple crisp.
Hello, Todd and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, my little boy was in an accident, and I want to call National Radio Show.
It was her daughter, but we understand the sentiment.
Thank you.
Bye.
Time machine. Was that a guy pretending to be a girl? Yes.
I am not really sure. Yeah. You Buzz, you identified the sex?
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it may have been.
I'm glad you identified the sex.
Robbie, any luck finding that tape?
Not yet.
I know it might be under Q.
Look there.
For queer.
Here's some other good gay chanting we have.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
F-2 equals M.
What?
Hold on. All right, here's some other gay tapes.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Homophobia's got to go! Hey, hey!
That's hey, hey, ho, ho, homophobia's got to go.
I like that one.
And then we've got, we're here, we're queer.
We're here, we're queer, we're Irish, get used to it.
And there's a little
Irish brogue here. Listen.
We're Irish. Get used to it.
Get used to it.
I hear that.
All right, I like that.
Here's another one.
Hi, this is Surf.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, hold on. Here's another one.
Hell no, we won't go. Hell no,
this doesn't sound like gay guys.
Where's get off my leg?
I know that's under the G's, Robbie.
Get off my leg.
You want the get off my leg? Here you go.
Lisa.
Get off my leg!
So musical.
It is. And oh, right, here's one more.
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
We're out of gates.
Oh, my God.
You know, I don't know where that we're here, we're queer, we're going skiing is.
That's like the granddaddy of all of them. Classic. Well,
I don't know. I know we got about a million of those tapes around them. Eventually, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, this is Satan. I took your tombstone. What do you think about that?
Well, it's so dated. Who cares?
Thank you.
Well, the tombstone's here anyway.
Yes, it is.
Tombstone's out in the lobby looking beautiful. Eventually, when we get these new studios, which we're supposed to get in March of the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
we won't have to search for tapes because everything will finally be digitalized on computer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll be able to just pull up on a screen. I'll be able to type in, we're here, we're queer, we're not going skiing, and boom, we'll be able to get the tape instantly.
I went into Jeremy's office today and was chatting with him about the new studio. You know what he agreed to?
What?
Full-sized Craftmatic adjustable bed for yours truly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Very happy about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hello.
You know what I'd like to do to you, to torture you?
No. That's what I love about this show. We don't have to hear that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, could I speak to Don and Mike?
Yes, you're speaking with us. Hello.
Yes, item number two on your list. I don't want to give away anything for those people who haven't caught the first part of it.
Right.
Mike didn't specify whether it was under anesthesia or without anesthesia.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. You know, it's really more, it's the actual psychological damage that would be done by the fact that he knew he was.
Right.
So it wouldn't matter. The process is not as important.
Speaking of, Mike, please give us another person. Does not have to necessarily be a celebrity. Another person that you would like to torture and how, please, for the pilot today.
Be very easy. Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good one.
And I will use the time-tested Chinese water torture. Just because that's what I feel like. It's a very good thing. The Chinese water torture.
I wrote Chinese. I forgot the H. C-I-N-E-E-Z-E.
Torture.
Chinese. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Can I speak with Don and Mike, please?
Yeah, you're on the air right now. Hello.
This isn't Don and Mike.
Oh,
yes, it is.
Come on, please.
You're talking to both of us right now, moron.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Humday. Hey, it's Shay. Hello.
Why you guys? Can I speak with Don and Mike?
It's funny when they...
Hey, Illy Ray. Humday. Hey, it's Shay.
What, what makes you believe that you're not speaking with us now? What area of that gray matter is causing you to doubt that you're speaking to us?
Because you guys just don't sound the same on the phone.
Only Tay. Fucking thing! Whore on me! Oh, come on, what?
So, hey.
Right, what? What do you want?
Okay, you were saying that you wanted to see Arnold in a Western.
Hold on, you want to talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Vermont.
Okay, can you hold on, please?
Yep.
All right, I'll put you through.
So embarrassed for the people of New England.
I don't think he's a representative of all Vermontians.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I don't have him on hold or anything. We're just listening to him now.
Right.
Can he hear us?
No. Okay. I have turned the microphones in audition, so he cannot hear us.
Let's listen to him think.
Now we'll come on to the exact... Oh, now he's listening to
me. I can hear you now.
No, he's listening to the delay.
Right.
Hey.
And then when you try to do something just to mock them, that's when they become trouble. That's when they decide to put their thinking
cap
on.
You guys said you wanted to see Arnold in a Western.
This guy is such a wingnut. He's now listening to the radio. He doesn't even realize that we are not communicating with him. Our mics are in the audition position. He cannot hear us speak.
We might have the king of the wingnuts on right now. The king of the Vermont wingnuts. The Vermont chapter of the Wingnut Society.
See, now we have to wait 10 seconds for what we say to come out of the radio.
Right. Hey, Vermont boy, are you a wing nut? Now we'll wait.
How many times have you tell people when they go
to the show? There was the answer.
Okay. Do yourself a favor and hang up the phone. We don't want to speak with you.
You're too slow.
Right. Hey, Don.
Let's give him 10 seconds now. He's listening. Let's see if there's 8.
Hey, Don.
9, 10.
You didn't take my advice. Hang up.
Come on, Don. Talk to me.
Hang up.
They're always trouble. Because that's all he's really capable of.
Hang up. How many people do we tell when they call the show?
Please. You said you wanted to see Arnold in a Western. He was in a Western.
I don't care.
I'm not communicating like that.
Yeah. I could just put the mics in program and talk to this idiot.
It's funnier to do it this way. We're the wingnut.
Now he has my answer. I don't care.
It was a funny Western.
I don't care what you have to say. Anybody so dunce, such a dunce, that they sit through us talking to them on the telephone and don't believe
that. Yes, you do.
Oh, yes, I do. What?
And you do care.
No, I don't care. Don't you tell me what I care. I'm a sensitive man, no matter what my wife says.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to Mr. Wingnut Dullard from Vermont. Wingnut J. Dullard.
He is what?
I don't know. Now he's lost me.
The only way I'll talk to you is if you turn your radio off and then speak into the telephone and say, my radio is off, I'm a dunce.
Now we have to wait 10 seconds for the response.
Poor oxygen.
My radio is off, I'm a dunce.
All right. Goodbye.
There you go. That was. Yeah, sometimes it's fun, though, to toy with them.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm from my radio down.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. I just wanted to ask Don and Mike what they thought would be the hoppinest thing in D.C. to do for New Year's.
The hoppinest thing to do?
Yeah, I work in the club scene down here, and I'm just trying to get an idea of what the listeners are going
to
do.
Best thing to do on New Year's Eve is to stay home.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the bomb shelter.
I'm thinking about the same thing.
This is the end of the Don and Mike Show.